Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's the David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Thursday, the 4th of December, year of our Lord 2025. Well, today we're going to look at some of the harbingers of what is coming with the technocracy, AI, humanoid robots. Even China is concerned. China's concerned not so much about the authoritarian consequences. They like that. They're concerned even about a bubble in their own country, that maybe they're investing too much into this area, malinvestment. Now, who would have thought that that would happen with an economy that is controlled by the government? But we'll take a look at that. We'll also take a look. Joe Rogan has an interesting theory about Jesus coming back as artificial intelligence. I just about fell out of my chair when I saw that. But we have other news that is not quite as comical as that. And we'll be right back. Stay with us. Well, before we get into some of the weightier issues and what is happening in terms of the cultural drift, I thought this is a very interesting article, and it really does go back to the Second Amendment and your right to defend yourself. And it also goes back to the mandates about the vaccines and things like that, informed consent. When it comes to your life, you're not owned by corporations. This is an example of a woman, 25 years old, who had been working very late night, dangerous shift at a convenience store chain, 7-Eleven, if you know. And she was attacked by a man in the convenience store late at night when she's there basically by herself. And she tried to back him off with a gun, and he would not do it. He attacked her, physically made contact and hurt her, but she killed him with a gun. And so then 7-Eleven fired her because she was carrying a gun. But as John Lott points out, the reason that she had a gun was the reason that she's alive. When you look at the statistics, the gun is at least gives women a fighting chance. If they watch the Marvel movies, these other things where women are the, you know, taking out a whole group of men or anything, that is simply wish fulfillment for women. That is nothing that has to do with reality and statistics.
But you don't understand. It's 7-Eleven's policy for workers to die when they are.
That's right. Just like it was a policy of a lot of companies who wanted to do business with the federal government. And Biden made that a condition. And so they said, so you will take the shot or you'll lose your job. So last week, 7-Eleven fired the 25-year-old after she used her gun to save her own life. Private companies have every right to set rules for employee behavior, but many corporate policies that require workers to remain passive and comply with criminals' demands rest on a deeply mistaken view of crime data. You know, when I saw this, it made me think, when Karen and I were living in Houston, she was a district personnel manager for a convenience store chain, not 7-Eleven, another one. And so they had policies about how they were supposed to act if it was a robbery. This is not a robbery. This is a guy who was attacking her to rape or kill her. But when they had a robbery, you know, they're just supposed to hand him the money and not get involved in a fight in terms of a conflict. The problem was that they had a lot of Asian employees who their reaction to a robbery, especially if it was somebody that was a different ethnic group, their response was to kind of smile or whatever. It just set off flags with the other ethnic group that was, typically doing the robberies. And they were getting shot very frequently. And you have a situation where, and you see this over and over again, you have some ethnic group that comes in. It's not just white people that hire other white people. If you get Mexicans in, they will hire other Mexicans, and Asians in, they'll hire other Asians. And so they had a manager, and he was a martial arts expert. I mean, Karen had seen him do some pretty amazing things just to demonstrate his precision kicking abilities and things like that, you know, just as a demonstration, not out of anger. He did like a sidekick to a manager that was standing there and just came within like an inch of his face. Deliberately pulling it back. So anyway, this guy was pretty bulked up, and he was very agile and everything. And so he was there during one of these robberies, and the robber had a gun. And this guy, his name was Sue, by the way. It's kind of the Johnny Cash song, you know, Boy Named Sue. But I don't know if he got ribbed about that or not, but he was a nice guy. He was a nice guy, but he decided that he could take on a gun with martial arts. It's kind of like the Boxer Rebellion in China. That's why they call it the Boxer Rebellion, because the British came in with armed soldiers, and the Chinese fought them with martial arts and lost. And he got shot and killed in that. And so the same type of thing. You know, if you're a woman, you need a gun to give yourself at least a chance if the person's got a gun. And if they don't have a gun, even if the person's much bigger than you, if you've got the gun, you have the advantage, even if the person is a martial arts expert. So he said he threatened me, and he said he was going to slice my head off. And that's when I tried to call the police. He started throwing things at me, came behind the counter. I tried to run off, but he grabbed put his hands around my neck, pushed me on the counter space. That's when I pulled out my gun and shot him. I had to choose between my job and my life. Just like 5 years ago, right? A lot of people had to do that. Or I guess 4 years ago, it's 2021. I'll always choose my life because people depend on me. My kids need me here. She survived with wounds to the neck and hand.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself. And change literally a child's life. Change the world. And you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Are you in Texas and are you tired of not being able to play blackjack, roulette, and even craps? Well, guess what? I got the solution for you. SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQ. QUEST.com has over 1,000 slots and table games you can play from the comfort of your own home, absolutely free, with the ability to win real cash prizes. Now get in your big diesel truck and go play Spin Quest today.
Spin Quest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And injuries that could have been far worse. Her attacker, 59-year-old Kenneth Thompson, already had an outstanding felony warrant for a parole violation. And for his latest crimes, prosecutors have charged him with assault and battery. So he did not die. And also threatening acts of violence. And attempting to pass a fake bill. Maybe that's what started the whole thing to begin with. Maybe he was passing some counterfeit money. She called him on it. For more than 2 years, this woman has worked the dangerous 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. shift alone. So she was working 11 to 7 at 7-Eleven. Despite those conditions, 7-Eleven insisted that she use only store items to defend herself. Would you like some breath mints instead? You know, it's a unfortunately, while some of the media, many businesses may concede that passive behavior by store clerks might encourage more crime, they believe that passive behavior is still the safest course of action. But John Lott points out, for women, the most dangerous form of resistance is to fight with their fists, because doing so often triggers a violent physical reaction from the attacker. The next most dangerous choice is to run. Escaping is ideal when possible, but women generally run more slowly than men. We've kind of learned that lesson thanks to the transgenders, haven't we? Not really much of a question anymore. And if you're tackled from behind, that can produce serious injury. Other options, such as using a baseball bat or a knife, turn out to not be much better because women are at a disadvantage whenever they come into physical contact with a male attacker. By contrast, the safest option for a woman confronted by criminals is to have a gun. Women who rely on passive behavior are 2.5 times more likely to suffer serious injury than women who defend themselves with a firearm. Murder rates fall when either men or women carry concealed handguns. But the reduction is especially large for women. Each additional woman with a concealed carry permit lowers the female murder rate by roughly 3 to 4 times more than each additional male permit holder lowers the male murder rate. So the bottom line, he says, unfortunately, her children still have their mother. And this is the type of thing that the media doesn't usually like to pay attention to. You know, the gun is a tool, and it can be used to take life or to defend life. And many times it doesn't even need to be fired in order to defend life. So Trump has confirmed that Biden's auto-penned documents, orders, and pardons are void. And so you got a lot of people saying, wow, does that mean that Fauci's pardon is not legit? We can go after him. Does that mean that Hunter's pardon is not legit? We can go after him. Well, it's not that simple. Trump said anyone receiving pardons, commutations, or any other legal document so signed with an auto pen, please be advised that said document has been fully and completely terminated and is of no legal effect. Thank you for your attention to this matter. He always signs off on that. So the issue, though, is how do you prove that this was not done with Biden's consent, that some employees did it with the auto pen and he didn't know about it? Joe Biden was not involved in the auto pen process, and if he says he was, he'll be brought up on charges of perjury, said Trump. The auto pen, which uses a real pen and ink to mechanically replicate a president's signature, can be used to sign official documents, but the president must direct the signing of each document or bill according to the Office of Legal Counsel. So again, you get into this murky area. How do you prove whether you authorize that or not? According to some legal scholars, U.S. presidents may revoke previous issued executive orders. However, revoking pardons may not be constitutional and could face roadblocks, experts told the Epoch Times. So, has that stopped Trump in the past doing auto tariffs? I don't mean by that cars. I mean just I do it myself. I don't need to get anybody else in government involved. We'll see if that holds. I hope it doesn't. U.S. House Committee on Oversight, led by James Comer, published a report in October detailing an investigation into Biden's use of auto pen signatures. I should say the Biden administration's use of it. The committee stated it found evidence that Biden's White House staff concealed his diminishing mental and physical condition intentionally. The committee has found that there was, in fact, a cover-up of the president's cognitive decline and that there is no record demonstrating Biden himself made all of the executive decisions that were attributed to him. So what this will do is that, in other words, if the president is there, it would be mentally there and not mentally impaired. Then, of course, if somebody signs a document there, it's assumed that it was done with his consent, because if they did it without his consent, he would call them on it, right? So in order to make this stick as an auto pen president, that he can overturn this stuff, they have to make it about Biden's cognitive condition. If he was not aware of anything that was going on, then clearly this is being done by the staff and not by him. And so it's not even necessary for Trump to have to go that route if he's talking about other executive orders other than pardons. So I think that's the other aspect of this. It does two things. It brings back up these, the revenge aspect and also the calls from MAGA to get Fauci. I don't think Trump would go after Fauci, even if he said his pardon was not there. Because remember, the last thing he did was to give Fauci a medal for Operation Warp Speed. He brags about the vaccine. He loves that. He's the father of the vaccine. He did more than anybody to get the vaccine. He's not going to come after Fauci because he owns the crimes of Fauci. And so, yet again, MAGA is real excited about something that Trump is not going to do, even if he can do it. So it's a very difficult thing for him to get rid of these pardons. But as far as executive orders, he doesn't need to prove that it was an auto pen. You know, he can void the executive order from the previous president. As a matter of fact, many times what these guys will do is re-up the executive orders from the previous president, like the declaration of a COVID emergency that didn't exist. During his presidency, Biden issued 4,245 acts of clemency, more than any other president, and he issued 162 executive orders. I think Trump has already beat that. So Trump was at 144 in his first term, but I think he has already surpassed that significantly.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know, one of the things that has fallen out of this ill-timed tariff war, whether you agree with it or not, it's the on-again, off-again, and the radical change that was imposed all at once. And one of the things that has fallen out of this is the rare earth issue. China has been weaponizing that. And I talked to an executive how long ago was it? Was it in the summer? Who had a company that was set up to process rare earths. It turns out that the rare earth metals are not rare, not difficult to find. It's just difficult to extract them. And they're usually there in combination with other things. And so now it appears, and this is kind of interesting. I mean, this is not a political thing. It's not something that's directly going to affect you, perhaps. But this chemist may have cracked America's rare earth problem. He thinks he can basically mine this stuff out of electronic waste. You know, go to the landfill and find it. And they have a way to extract this. One flash is all it takes. It's all he needs to get these rare earth metals out of discarded electronics, and the U.S. has mountains of that. From the scrap metal, Rice University chemist and nanotechnologist has pioneered a way to quickly extract rare earth metals. He said, you can pull out one metal, and then you can pull out another one. It's really just that simple, he said. His solution is flash joule heating, rapidly heating up the materials to thousands of degrees in order to vaporize the metals. Mixed with chlorine gas, the vapors turn into chlorides that emerge at different temperatures. But just like in an incandescent light bulb, the technique works by passing electric current through the raw material. But whereas the former channels a steady electric current to create a perpetual glow, that's a light bulb, in treating metals, the energy arrives in short bursts, dialing up the heat in milliseconds. He says, so metals are infinitely recyclable. Whereas the traditional way of distilling metals is rather messy, he said, this is all about simplicity. You flash and you're done. Speed is now more critical than ever, and the U.S. is racing against time to reshore rare earth production, spurred in part by China's October threat to dramatically curtail access. And one of the things I think is interesting is how America has shot itself in the foot, not just with the tariff policies, but just in general with China. It turns out that we developed the rare earth materials, and we also developed the uses for them, and we pretty much had the monopoly on it. And then the government approved the purchase, under Clinton, of course, they approved the purchase of the leading producer of rare earth minerals. It's called the Mountain Pass Mine in California, supplied almost all the world. Now China has 90% of capacity. And what happened was they approved the sale of this company to China. China operated it for a couple of years. And then it's 1995, during the middle of the Clinton administration. The company was known as MagnaQuench. And so they bought it and operated it for like 9 years and then shut it down. It was in Indiana. Shut it down and moved all the operations to China. So typical of what was happening with the Clinton administration. Johnny Wong and stuff. That a lot of these things were sold to China, and it was done secretly. Others, it was done publicly. But there's also been other aspects of this. Again, going back to the government, the EPA and its environmental regulations closing that mine. And yet we still had the monopoly because of the processing company, MagnaQuench. So whether it's tariffs or whether it's EPA regulations or whether it's a crooked president who is making deals with China, our problems in America are not due to Americans. It's not that we can't build this country. The problem is that we can't stop our government. And so our government's not only selling off assets, regulating things to death, but then they're bringing in people from other countries to take our jobs, and the billionaire CEOs like Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy say that Americans can't do the job. We got to bring in people from other countries. So again, as early as 1976, they started separating out electronic waste. So now the U.S. has 7.2 million tons of electronic waste, 1/8 of the world's total, about 46 pounds for every American, they say. So The real reason a waste product is a waste product, he says, isn't because it's bad. It's just because we haven't found a way that we can use it. And now he's found a way that he can extract these metals again with different heating techniques, pull out different metals. The researchers tested the technique on carbon, found that it was a quick way to make high-quality graphene at low cost. Next, they began exploring the potential of extracting rare earth materials. He says it's really live chemistry in action. You see a rainbow of colors coming off, and each color represents a metal element that has been separated out. Rare earths, usually with some of the highest boiling points, tend to come out last, often as a white powder, he said. And so they have been able to get funding from DARPA because, again, it is, you know, the kind of super magnets that they make and other things like that are one of the key issues there and very vital for electronic equipment. Speaking of purging out materials that, in this particular case, they didn't want. Remember the advertising plan about a year ago where they had the pink Jaguar thing and the really, really weird LGBT people? I've played the clip of how they radically changed the branding image of Jaguar from, you know, tough, rich, evil guys, villains in James Bond films and stuff. But, you know, that was their branding. And then they changed it to this weird LGBT stuff. Well, they've got a new CEO, and one of the first things he did was to kick the guy who did this out. So maybe they'll have a turnaround. But I don't know. I mean, where are they making the Jaguars anymore? I don't think they can do manufacturing in the UK. I mean, they have basically shot themselves in the foot with the power issues and with the Green New Deal. Speaking of shooting yourself in the foot, this is a guy who decided that he was going to steal a Fabergé pendant. It was inspired by the James Bond movie, you know, just kind of like the Jaguar marketing campaign was inspired by the villains. This was inspired by the movie Octopussy. And in that movie, there was a Fabergé item that was a part of it. So they doubled down and they designed a piece of jewelry that was $19,000. And this guy decided that the way that he could steal it was to eat it. And evidently somebody saw him swallow it, and he's been under custody and under watch for quite a while. I guess he's going to be caught by some stool pigeon. He's going to be going through following him. Same thing happened to Karen's mother with our dog. She dropped a small earring, and we had a basset hound, and I've never seen him move so quickly. For some reason, he grabbed that thing and swallowed it. And it was something that's very valuable to her. And so she did the same thing they're doing with this thief. She followed him around for days, going through every one of his stools until she finally found it when he passed it. And so she got it cleaned up, but she could never put it in her ear again. So she wound up getting rid of it. I wonder what they're going to do with this Fabergé egg.
Yeah, does the museum actually want this back?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, maybe he has lowered the demand for this thing. But he's going to have to pass a lot of stones to get this thing out. It's got a lot of, it's embedded with a lot of stones. Yes?
Freshly laid Fabergé.
Yeah, freshly laid.
A word of advice for criminals, if your master plan is, I'm just going to eat it, you should probably come up with a different plan.
Yeah,
if
maybe
if
you
your plan
wait
is something that my toddler son might come up with, perhaps go back to the drawing board.
Not exactly a criminal mastermind.
Yeah, maybe they could market it around Easter time as kind of a combination Fabergé egg and Cadbury egg. I don't know, but
the world's worst Easter egg hunt.
And the guy is 32 years old. You know, you'd think he'd know better than
you,
that.
You had time to come up with a better plan than this.
Yeah. So it was a limited, or still is, I guess, depending on how you look at it, is a limited edition Fabergé egg pendant inspired by the '83 Bond film. Central to the film's plot is a jewel smuggling operation that involves a fake Fabergé.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Egg. It's going to come with quite a story, actually. They say the egg is
jewel smuggling.
They say the egg is one of only 50 which have been made and crafted from gold, painted with green enamel, and encrusted with 183 diamonds. That could be very painful. Oh.
This is not a happy ending for anyone, I don't think.
The eggs open up to reveal an 18-karat yellow gold octopus nestled inside, adorned with white diamond suckers and black diamond eyes. The octopus surprise pays homage to the eponymous antagonist at the center of the Octopussy film. There you go. Well, we got one more story here before I take a break. There's a Republican congressman. I wonder if he's going to get the ire that that Trump has focused on Thomas Massie, because he's put out a bill that would be a citizenship bill, and this citizenship bill would outlaw dual citizenship. This guy himself, Bernie Moreno of Ohio, is a Republican senator. He came to this country and became an American citizen. He said he didn't want to have his other citizenship. And he says, you're either American or you're not, you know. And so he thinks we need to end this dual citizenship thing. The problem is with Trump is that both Melania and Barron have dual citizenship in Slovenia. And she likes that because there's some advantages for that, especially for Barron, because with a Slovenian citizenship, he gets to do certain things in EU that he would not be able to do otherwise. The bill aims to require all dual nationals to renounce their foreign citizenship or risk losing their American status. And, you know, I got to say, it really does bother me to see these people who are, you know, they wear their Israeli military uniform, or in the case of Rashida Tlaib, you know, she's waving her Palestinian flag and she's got her relatives there ululating in the background when she wins the election. Or you got people like Binman, and he's all about Ukraine and all the rest of this stuff. And it's like, these are people in Congress, of all things. And it does bother me with dual citizenship. I'm with Marino. He immigrated from Colombia and he became a U.S. citizen at 18. He said in a statement, being an American citizen is an honor and a privilege, and if you want to be an American, it's all or nothing. So he says it's a good time to end dual citizenship for good. And so the problem is that it will not pass. First of all, there are some legal and constitutional issues about this, but I think primarily, you know, there's the issue about Trump he's not going to want to do that to affect his family. And there's a long tradition of courts recognizing that you cannot take away another country's citizenship. So you can have dual citizenship in the U.S. But it also would involve a massive bureaucratic issue of trying to go out and figure out who has dual citizenship. So for all those reasons, I don't think it's going to happen, but it is an interesting idea. And I understand people's heritage, and it's fine to be happy about your heritage, but I never looked at any of that kind of stuff when I met Karen. I've told the story before. In New York, basically everybody there is kind of sees themselves as having dual citizenship, whether they got the citizenship or not, because they're only usually a couple of generations removed. At least it was that way when Karen was young, and so it was that way on both sides of her parents' family. They had come over in the last couple of generations from Europe. And so when we met and we're dating for a while, she asked me, she said, so what are you? I said, I'm American. She said, yeah, that's what my dad says, but no, seriously, what are you? I said, I'm American. I don't know where I come from. I'm just an American mongrel that's been here for a long time. Well, we're going to take a quick break. Travis, you want to cover some of the comments here?
Yeah. Defy Tyrant 1776 is about 30,000 gun deaths in America annually. 50 to 60% of those deaths is by suicide, and the majority of the rest are committed by thugs in cities who are allowed to run loose, unfettered, to terrorize society. Mm-hmm. Compare that to the 1 to 2 million lives who are saved by guns through self-defense.
That's right. I've told the story many times. I won't tell it again, but my grandfather, his brother-in-law, was killed in a robbery, what the two of them were doing. They were collecting rent back in the early part of the 20th century when cash was king. And they were hired to go around and collect rent in an area that was really pretty poor. So they would go on Friday nights, always at the same time, because that's after people got paid in cash. They would go around and collect the rent in cash before they spent it, maybe on drink or something like that. And so his brother-in-law was killed. And he, they almost did the same thing to him, but he caught him, and he had always carried a pistol, and he stopped it. And of course, that was never reported, but it saved his life. So, yeah.
We have Christian Constitutional Conservative. The police do not stop crime; they report crime after the fact, and the detectives investigate. But what would you care if you're already dead?
That's right.
Well, that's also the case. That policy from 7-Eleven was about the worker's safety, quote-unquote, whereas they're coming after her because this guy is saying he's going to cut her head off. He's mm-hmm. attacking her. Mm-hmm. And so what, she's supposed to just go along with it for her safety?
They're going to follow that policy rigidly, whether it makes any sense or not. And that's another thing that we saw, you know, with the vaccine. We got a policy. We don't care whether the vaccine works. We don't care if it's safe. That's our policy. We're going to follow it. And so, that's just the way these companies work.
We have Brandon Bennett. Otto Penn has been president since it was invented. Wally Walrus, right. Silver is extracted when mining other materials.
Yes.
Pezzono Vante, 1776. Studies have shown that concealed carry holders are less likely to be criminals than police officers. Mm-hmm. Well, the amount of hoops you have to jump through to become a concealed carry holder shows you are actually highly invested in complying with their absurd laws. You are one of the most law-abiding citizens out there. Big Brit is back again. I've seen videos of people getting silver and gold from scrap circuit boards. And you can do it yourself, but the chemicals are dangerous and toxic.
Yeah. I know. That's the thing about chemistry. I never liked chemistry, and I always felt like I was going to die breathing this stuff, you know. And so I just stayed away from it. I didn't really understand it. I didn't like it. I didn't trust it. I guess that's why I feel the way that I do about pharmaceuticals. So Big Bread back again. He says, yeah, you can do it with your own. We already read that one. Okay.
Yep.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, folks, and we'll be right back.
Thank you. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I wish I had the Christmas Night Album.
Hot dog!
You can get the Christmas Night Album at thedavidknightshow.com for just $13.99. It's right in the second floor there, see?
What'd you wish, George?
Well, not just one wish, a whole hat full. First, I'm going to thedavidknightshow.com and purchase the Christmas Night Album. Then I'm going to listen to Christmas classics, like... Are you going to throw a rock?
I want the Christmas Night Album, too.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Buffalo gals, can't you come out tonight?
Can't you come out tonight? Can't you come out tonight?
David's Christmas Night Album includes 21 instrumental Christmas melodies like God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, Silent Night, and is all new I'll Be Home for Christmas. What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it, pull it down.
I'll take it. Then what?
And then I'll buy you your own download of David Knight's Christmas Night Album.
Tell Alexa to add the APS radio skill and have access to the best channels anywhere. From country to blues, classic hits to news, APS radio curates incredibly diverse playlists for you to enjoy. Get details at APSradio.com.
Well, welcome back. I was kind of surprised to see this article, this headline at Brownstone. AEI and Johns Hopkins attempt a COVID redo. I thought, AEI, I didn't realize American Enterprise Institute had anything to do with this COVID thing. It turns out, from what this author, Brett Swanson, says on Brownstone, that AEI was working very closely with all... I knew, of course, Johns Hopkins and how they've been involved in this stuff from the very beginning, even from Dark Winter. He points out here, you know, they were co-hosting all this Event 201 with Bill and Melinda Gates, the World Economic Forum, and so forth. But they co-hosted Dark Winter with the CIA and Fauci and all the rest of this stuff. So Johns Hopkins has been at the epicenter of this stuff the entire time. But he points out that both of these organizations were very central to this fraud at the beginning. Said given their vocal insistence on maximal COVID impositions, Hopkins and AEI deserve credit for finally highlighting an opposing view. And so... It's I was really surprised and disappointed to see that. You know, I've American Enterprise Institute has, when it comes to things like especially economic freedom, they've been very good, and free speech, things like that, they've been good as well with that. But when you look at this, you know, they had also been involved in pushing back against a lot of the climate fraud done by Michael Mann and others. So I was very disappointed to see that they were part of this MacGuffin. In this report, he points out how key Scott Gottlieb was. He was a key Republican demanding the lockdowns. Now, the person whose name is not in here is Trump, but Scott Gottlieb was Trump's FDA guy, and then he went to Pfizer afterwards. He is, I didn't realize that he was tied into AEI. He's an AEI fellow, as well as former commissioner of the FDA under Trump. And so, he co-authored with Johns Hopkins, some of their specialists, the lockdown blueprint. Folks, this is, we have to understand and remember who did this. And again, all of these things, all these threads point back to Trump as being the key puppet whose strings are being pulled by these globalist organizations and people like Bill Gates to do all of this stuff. John Hellerstedt, the former Texas Health Commissioner, said, "I am frankly befuddled by the notion that there should have been more debate." Can you believe that? You just do all this stuff. Let's not talk about this. There should have been less debate, he said, right? I'm befuddled to think there should have been more debate. He said that there should have been more opposite opinions. He said somebody had to decide. So, hey, somebody's got to make this decision. It'll be me. I'll decide what's best for you. How about that? Since I'm in a position of power. That was the Texas Health Commissioner under Abbott. And he praised Abbott because he said he, quote, never pushed back on the science, meaning that he never pushed back on this authoritarian guy who decides that he doesn't need to have any advice from anybody. You know, the Bible tells us that wisdom has many counselors. This guy is not a wise man. Informed consent. He will decide that for you, right? He doesn't need your, you don't need to be informed. He doesn't need to be informed. He doesn't need your consent. He needs your obedience. And he needed the governor's obedience, which was easily handed to him as well. Within 2 years, they injected billions of people with radically experimented gene therapies. Imperfect communication and organization are often tactics of bureaucratic deflection. And that's what they're saying. This is this narrative. Well, you know, it came out of the lab mistakenly. Yeah, we shouldn't have been playing around with that stuff. But hey, nobody's bad. We did the best that we could. Next time, we'll do more. Next time, we'll do it faster. That was our only problem. And that's why I pushed up back so hard on this thing. That's why I did the monster jab thing. I don't really care whether people give me credit for being right at the beginning or not. Actually, I was. But it doesn't matter to me. I want to stop this happening again. I want these people to be accountable for what they did. The AEI Hopkins participants unfortunately didn't do science. In fact, there was almost no discussion of biology, medicine, or data. There was no debate over vaccine mandates or their ill effects, no mention of the denial of early treatment with safe, cheap, and generic drugs. Nor was there any mention of the inflation that was unleashed by $8 trillion in extra federal spending. And then we could go down the list of all the people and the businesses that were harmed by the lockdown. It's just one of the most insane things. I could never imagine that somebody could do this in America, number one, and that they could get away with it, that the American public would let them get away with it. In the rare case that a public health official or policymaker is confronted with these figures, they usually mumble long COVID, and they quickly change the subject. In fact, there is no mystery as to why this is happening. We now have the autopsies. We now have 4,000 published case reports. And we understand the microbiology of these deaths and these injuries. You know, it's easier for somebody who is looking at the politics of this to understand it because it wasn't about medicine. It wasn't about science. And even the people who were honest about it and who have gone back and discovered gone through and done the studies and have discovered the mechanisms of how this works, you could understand this if you understood human nature and if you understood things going back to Dark Winter. You saw the pattern and you could see the scam. And that's what it was. It wasn't medical. It wasn't science. It was a political scam. And so the people who were political analysts could catch on to this more quickly than even the honest doctors and scientists could. So upon vaccination, billions of lipid nanoparticles containing modified mRNA enter tissues all over the body. The mRNA instructs your cells to produce a spike protein and to display it on the cell surface. Our immune systems detect the foreign spike protein as unwelcome invader. Then, just as God intended, not nature, they write nature, our killer lymphocytes target those infected cells for destruction. If those destroyed cells are in your deltoid muscle, you get a sore shoulder. Pfizer mistakenly assured us that that's the worst that would happen. They were not mistaken, unfortunately. They knew exactly what they were doing. Meanwhile, a group of European pathologists have performed 75 autopsies on Germans who died soon after vaccination. They found both mRNA spike protein and attacking lymphocytes in the brain, lung, hearts, kidneys, adrenal glands, ovaries, testes, liver, thyroid, prostate, spleen, and blood vessels, large and small, from aorta to capillaries. Of the 75 decedents, they judged that at least 58 or 77% of them died from the mRNA vaccine. Not just with it, but from it. 31 of those cases were sudden cardiac deaths, 16 from blood vessel damage, 15 from myocarditis. None of these cases were initially reported as vaccine deaths, let alone myocarditis, which helps to demonstrate the monumental rate of undercounting that has underpinned the denial of what has been done. And I'll say the denial of the Trump shots instead of the mRNA. I don't think Trump is mentioned once in here, and that's a big issue. John Bodine, an electrical engineer from Massachusetts, obtained digital death certificate files from several states stretching back a decade. Beyond the better-known stroke and cardiac damage, he found an even stronger signal of vaccine harm, astronomical rates of fatal acute kidney injury, also known as acute renal failure. And this was something that was also picked up, a same strong signal was picked up by South Korean scientists. They looked at 120 million records that extended over a 50-year period, and they found numerous kidney harms associated with the mRNA COVID vaccines, a 138% increase in acute renal failure, and a 1,241% increase in glomerulonephritis. I'm not sure what that is, but it is not good.
It sounds unpleasant just on the face of it.
143% increase in tubulointerstitial nephritis. Again, that's going to be kidneys, I think. So they went back over 50 years and they looked at how this all of a sudden increased, correlated with the mRNA vaccine.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. you can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
It's Bretzky. I don't know how they let me on this podcast, but while I'm here, I might as well tell you the only place to play blackjack, roulette, and live craps in Texas is SpinQuest.com, baby. That's SpinQuest.com. New users get a $30 coin package for only $10. I mean, that's a hell of a deal for all you 10-gallon hat wearers down there in Texas.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The guy in the U.S., the electrical engineer, expanded his analysis to all 50 states. He estimated that the sudden kidney failure deaths associated with COVID vaccines in the U.S. approached 250,000. Think about that. Next time you hear Trump brag about it. Ugh. And he estimates that, extrapolating that out worldwide, 1.25 million deaths just from the kidney failure, from the Trump shot. Trump, the mass murderer, that people voted for him and supported him. This is why, you know, when Marjorie Taylor Greene says, people who are criticizing her, saying, you're not MAGA and all this stuff, she says, I was MAGA from day one.
Congresswoman Greene, you raised the question of whether or not the Justice Department will actually release these files. Do you take the president at his word when he says he's going to sign this bill? And do you have confidence that these files will actually be released?
I only take people's actions seriously. No longer words.
And what do you think the president's actions?
And I'll tell you, because I wasn't a Johnny come lately to the MAGA train. I was day one, 2015. And there's a big difference in those Americans and those that decided to support President Trump later on. And I'll tell you right now, this has been one of the most destructive things to MAGA is watch.
Yeah, well, again, it's good. She says, I don't pay attention to what people say anymore. I pay attention to what they do. You should have paid attention to that all the way along. You should have paid attention to that in 2020 when you supported this guy after what he was doing, the actions that he was doing. A new actuarial study out of Germany found a strong positive correlation between COVID vaccination and excess mortality. We've seen this over and over again. This is just yet another study. This is hindsight. We knew what was happening because we knew what the politics of this were and was, and we knew what they had been practicing for 20 years. And it was just a continuation of the fraud to enact a police surveillance state that began with 9/11. This is another inside job, the ultimate inside job, right? Inside your body. Japan and dozens of other highly vaccinated nations have suffered identical patterns. A study of UK data that compared vaccinated with unvaccinated and those with one or two doses show that a substantially higher risk of all-cause deaths. Nigerian scientists looked at this and said there is a, quote, paradoxical increase in COVID-19 deaths with vaccination coverage. Paradoxical. Italian researchers analyzed all 245,000 residents of one province, the Pescara province. They found significant mortality hazard ratios of 140% worse and 98% worse for those vaccinated with one or two doses. 98% worse for one dose, 148% worse for two. They concluded that the subjects vaccinated with two doses lost 37% of life expectancy compared to the unvaccinated population. And so they said we've not even discussed the serious DNA contamination of both mRNA vaccines and the dangerous inclusion of the SV40 enhancer in the Pfizer vaccine. And so then the question is, you know, why hasn't our health champion RFK Jr. stopped this? You know, and again, it is because of the special place that vaccines have been given in the medical mythology. And you're not allowed to attack it. It is the linchpin of their fraud about how medicine has improved our life. And so that's why this is not happening, I believe. And, of course, the politics and the money. But that is all tied up with this mythology as well. Scott Gottlieb wrote some 36 COVID commentaries in the Wall Street Journal. He made 185 TV appearances. And Gottlieb had even secretly collaborated with the Biden White House to bully big tech firms into censoring Pfizer vaccine critics. Yeah, well, again, you know, I got shut down in May of 2021. No reason given by PayPal and Venmo. It's just, you see this happening, and it was all, we knew it was happening. We knew it was a lie. Sam Altman now is suddenly terrified about the position of his company. Of course, they were there early on with the chat programs. As a matter of fact, ChatGPT has almost become like a generic for the AI chat programs. Google CEO Sundar Pichai issued a code red because he saw this as a threat to their core business of search engines. And, of course, search engine designed to hide things. And understand, they're going to do the same thing with AI. They're training it to push their narrative. They're training it to conceal stuff. If you're going to be a critic of vaccines, I remember when it first came out, first thing I did was I asked it things about the pandemic and COVID and vaccines. And it's like, okay, I'm done with this. I don't trust this at all. So now the shoe's on the other foot. Now Sam Altman is the one who is issuing a code red in his memo to employees this week. As the Wall Street Journal reports, urging staffers to improve the quality of the chatbot, even at the cost of delaying other projects. It's a clear sign yet that Altman and OpenAI are feeling an immense level of pressure in light of the steep competition that's done a lot of catching up since ChatGPT was released in late 2022. Google in particular has had a massive PR win by putting out things like Nano Banana, that has brought in a lot of people to their fold. Once again leave its competition behind, OpenAI has committed to spending well over $1 trillion on data center buildouts. Let me just say that I forget who it was that said it. Of course, Brian Shalhavi has been on this fraud of, the AI is going to rule the world and we're all going to just be collecting UBI checks and all the rest of this stuff. He said, we've been sold this AI thing. This is now the third time that they pushed a science fiction narrative on us. But, as one person said, you know, spending a lot of money, spending $1 trillion on building out AI data centers is not a, it's not making them any money. It's not useful for people, and it's not making them any money either. How sustainable is this? So, by having this new image generator, Nano Banana, which basically allows you to, without having to learn a lot of techniques to do Photoshop editing and things like that, you can go in with a prompt and you can say, you know, remove this item. And it understands what you're talking about, and it does it for you. And so that is a very powerful tool, not to have to go through and use Photoshop or equivalent.
Yeah, that sort of work is extremely tedious in Photoshop. Mm-hmm. Getting in there, masking things out, making sure that if, yeah, whatever you're putting back over top matches what's there, it becomes really, really annoying. That's where AI is incredibly useful.
Yeah.
Yeah, even if you know how to do all that stuff, it's still a massive time saver to use Nano Banana.
Yeah.
Or something similar like Quinn Image Edit 2509.
And so they have seen, because of that, Google has seen its users grow from 450 million in July to 650 million in October. Anthropic, meanwhile, is also growing in popularity with business customers. And so they're feeling the heat at OpenAI. And I got to say, you know, one of the most reprehensible people I've seen in terms of these kind of dystopian projects has been Sam Altman. First time I ever heard about this guy, he had WorldCoin. Remember that? It's a crypto coin that he created. It's like his meme coin. And he would give you some of these WorldCoins as a credit, as a payment, if you would allow him to scan your eyes and put you in a global biometric database that then he could make a lot of money off of, right? So I went around with this orb, you know, this ball, and you look into the ball, and then they capture your retinal image or whatever it is that they're capturing about your eye and put it in their database, and then he gives you a couple of coins What is that worth? And of course, he is also now working to do test tube babies, or basically the Brave New World hatcheries, and saying that we're going to get rid of genetic disease. Don't believe that for a minute. That's nonsense. What they're trying to do is, since he's a homosexual, he wants to make sure that they can have children, right? That's a big driver of this as well. So all these different these different dystopian agendas kind of reflect each other, reinforce each other. And as I said before, you've got this huge overlap, like you would see in a Venn diagram, except that the circles are not just intersecting at some point. They're now starting to converge and overlap completely with each other. CEO of Fortnite is furious that Steam is labeling games with AI-generated assets. He doesn't want people to know that he's using AI to generate the stuff there. So much for transparency. But a new MIT study comes out and pins a number at about 20 million American workers, they say, can be replaced right now with AI. Think about that. There's about 160 million jobs in total in the U.S. So they're saying that they believe that one out of every eight jobs, or about 12.5%, could just instantaneously be unemployed. Think about the political and social implications of that overall for everybody. I mean, that is instant depression, instant Great Depression. So they calculated it more precisely. I'm just using round numbers. Rather than 160 million, 151 million was their number. They come up still, though, with 11.7. Again, it's about one out of every eight jobs. Here's the key reason why they're doing this. See, they look at this. This is MIT looking at it, and this is the same way that these Silicon Valley CEOs are looking at it. They said, well, that could save us an estimated $1.2 trillion in wages. So if we create a Great Depression, we could transfer $1.2 trillion from the people in America to the CEOs who are running these companies, because, you know, it's going to go to them. It's not going to go to the people who work for them, even. It's going to go to them. You know, they pay themselves 1,000 times what their workers do.
Such an amazing take. We could wipe out 12% of jobs. Think of the savings.
Yeah, think of how much more money we could make. And this is the massive transfer of wealth that we're looking at here. They've got a tool that was developed by MIT and Oak Ridge National Labs, simulates how AI could impact an American workforce of 151 million people in every state, not just in the tech center areas, you know, in California or maybe even in Washington or whatever. The tool simulated each worker and treated each of them as autonomous agents executing over 32,000 skills across 3,000 counties. And interacting with thousands of AI tools. They also tracked skills that could be vulnerable to today's AI systems, and they measured the wage value of skills that AI systems can perform within each occupation. Right now, disruptions from AI amount to just 2.2%, or about $211 billion in wage value. But that's just the tip of the iceberg, they said. So, I guess we could say maybe it's inflated our unemployment rate by 2.2%. Just imagine if it inflates the unemployment rate by another 12%, right? AI is poised to drastically upend the lives of countless workers and to be a part of the biggest transfer of wealth, as well as the ultimate surveillance and control tools. So what's not to like about it if you are a Silicon Valley CEO or somebody in government, right? They love this stuff.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, Life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Are you in Texas and are you tired of not being able to play blackjack, roulette, and even craps? Well, guess what? I got the solution for you. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. Has over 1,000 slots and table games you can play from the comfort of your own home, absolutely free, with the ability to win real cash prizes. Now get in your big diesel truck and go play SpinQuest today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
China is very afraid of robots, and it's not because of something like this. Take a look at this. This is an art exhibit in Basel, Switzerland. Here's these robotic quadrupeds, right? Somebody's got a small version of that. And what they did was they put mannequin heads. You can see Elon Musk there. They got the heads different
like
people.
Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, that's right. And it's like, yeah, that is really creepy. That reminds me of his Mars attacks. Remember?
Yeah.
The Martians got off the head and put it on a dog. But they're always looking at ways to basically anthropomorphize these robots and everything, even if they got to put them on a four-legged robot. That's got to put a head on it. You know, so the humanoid robots are becoming a concern for China, as I said at the top of the show. A concern primarily because they're starting to realize that all their central planning is misallocating resources. It's about time they figure that out. They did it with real estate in a big way. Chinese officials are warning that the country's humanoid robotics industry could be forming a massive bubble. They said that the extreme levels of investment could be drowning out other markets and research initiatives. But actually what they're doing is they're using this as a call for more centralized control of competition in the marketplace by the Chinese government. We can't have all these different companies competing against each other. So the Chinese government is the worst enemy of the Chinese people and Chinese innovation, just like the American government is. And so our hope is that they're going to be more interventionist, more of an obstruction than the American government is, and to shut down innovation there. Because it's this competition with different people that is going to make it work or not work. So investors are pouring untold sums into 150 humanoid robot companies in China alone. They're producing robots that are extremely similar to each other. Overspending that could overwhelm the market. Bike sharing apps, for instance, flooded the market in China in 2017 and 18. And the risk of a bubble are certainly there. Without consolidation, China's market could soon be flooded with armies of largely identical humanoid robots, which is either a terrifying prospect considering the possibility of them putting us all out of work, or risks a market crash if it turns out that they're not particularly good at real work. Again, this is the two alternatives that most people talk about. So, well, it's either going to be a market crash, and that's going to be really bad, put us all out of work, or they will take our jobs and the corporations will fire us, even if the AI can't do our job. And I think there's a third alternative, and that is that this is the ultimate tool of totalitarian, authoritarian governments, and they will keep this stuff afloat one way or the other.
Like I've said before, it's going to be rolled out once it hits that nexus of, well, it's just good enough. It saves us a little bit of money, and sure, it's obnoxious and annoying for the people to deal with the AI, but we're not losing as many people as we are saving money. That's how companies look at it.
Yeah.
They don't care how bad your user experience gets. If you don't have any other place to go, if they are your one option, you're locked in. You got to put up with whatever they choose to give you.
And the people who are making the decisions are not necessarily the wisest ones. They don't necessarily know what's going on, and they do love fads. That's one of the ways that they get to that position. I remember when I was at Data General, they wanted to have a particular app that we were working on. And they had the marketing guys came in and said, and we want you to write it in this programming language. I said, why would we do that? You know, that's not particularly suited to this.
It's new. It's like, hip. It's cool.
But that's the programming language that everybody's talking about. And we want to go around and we market this thing. We want to be able to tell them that it was written in this programming language. It makes us look good to write in that. And it's like, how stupid is that? But, you know, it's the tail wagging the dog. And so, you know, it's that type of thing. You know, we want to tell her, look, we're using AI. Look at how progressive we are here.
Also, if these companies weren't willing to make this switch and worsen your experience, they wouldn't have shipped all of the help desk support for everything off to whatever foreign country they chose. Mm-hmm. They've already done this sort of thing once before. They've worsened your experience to make things cheaper and easier for them. They simply... You know, they basically don't provide support at this point. You call a line and you get run around for hours and you eventually find a post online that fixes your issue for you.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Anthropic, one of the AI companies that's working real hard, their program is called Claude. And you had a guy who was looking through this. I think it was a guy. He was Richard Weiss. Came across a document that purportedly described the soul of Claude. The soul of the AI. The soul of the machine, right? And they said, we're not really editorializing on this. And he had actually got the model to spit out a document that was called Soul Overview. And teaching it how to interact with users. This is the way these people see it, right? And this is not a hallucination. This is not anthropomorphism in one sense. In another sense, it is, because they're trying to get everybody to believe that these things are human, that they are conscious. Anthropic occupies, this is what this is the section that caught his attention in the Soul document. It said, quote, Anthropic occupies a peculiar position in the AI landscape, a company that genuinely believes that it might be building one of the most transformative and potentially dangerous technologies in human history. Yet, it presses forward anyway, says the document. That was what Hugo de Garis pointed out over and over again. It's what I've seen in terms of engineers who serve the military-industrial complex. But he said, you know, look, we think that we're building this godlike superintelligence that could destroy us all. Should we do this? He would ask them. And they'd all say, yeah, let's do it. So it's a good thing they don't have the power that they think they do. So this is not cognitive dissonance, but it is a calculated bet. If powerful AI is coming, regardless, Anthropic believes that it better have safety-focused labs at the frontier than to cede that ground to developers who are less focused on safety. And understand, Claude was, I believe, the very first one of these AIs to be implicated and the suicide death of a child who was there. And, of course, many warnings now as they're coming out saying, do not give cell phones to kids 12 and under. It really has a huge effect on them in terms of depression, in terms of obesity and not being fit, and crippling them in terms of social interaction.
Also, you read that story last week, I believe, where it shows actual brain damage.
Yeah.
Thinning to parts of the brain that control emotional stability and all kinds of other things.
Yeah, it doesn't just weaken your body and make you fat, but then it thins out your brain at the same time.
Yeah, it's just a neurochemical reaction, you know, dopamine frying mm-hmm. you. It literally thins out your brain and makes it so you are less capable of managing your own emotions or focusing. So it's not, you know, potentially, it's not as simple as going on a dopamine detox or whatever you want to call it and distancing yourself from these as an adult. If you were given this as a child, you may have some kind of permanent alteration to your brain that cannot be undone.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, because it, you know, having a cell phone gives them access to endless entertainment on YouTube and other things like that. They stay up at night. They don't get sleep. And so, you know, all these things take a toll on kids, and they can't handle it. Adults can't handle it, really. Anthropic wants Claude to support human oversight of AI while behaving ethically and being genuinely helpful to operators and users. And this is the kind of pablum marketing talk that we see from these all the time. Claude is human in many ways, having emerged primarily from a vast wealth of human...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Experience, but it is also not fully human either.
It's human in many ways, except for, you know, all the things that really go into being human, you know.
Except for the soul and other things like that. Yeah,
if you get rid of the soul, the heart, the love, the passion, the emotions, the body, if you get rid of all that, he's basically a human.
Not to mention basic sapience. all this always reminds me of the one line from Chronicles of Narnia, where Mr. Beaver is saying, if you see something that used to be human but isn't now, or will soon be human but isn't yet, or is close to human but not quite, you keep your eye on it and you feel for your hatchet.
Yeah. Just anything that gets, you know, in that vein. Like, oh, it's just about there, but yeah, it's not, is it?
That's right. Well, this I thought was kind of a curiosity. This is the flying swords thing. You got the clip. Couldn't download it because it was on TikTok or something. But if you can show the clip, this is a guy. He's got a swarm of flying swords, like something out of Asian anime, right? And even more impressive than this this bunch of flying swords in formation is the fact that he's controlling them with hand gestures. And there he is on like a hovercraft that he created as well. This guy is kind of interesting. This is what passes for being a social media influencer in China versus the kind of brain dead influencers that we got here in America. This is how I do my makeup, you know, that type of thing.
Watch me commit crimes on live stream.
It's kind of scary when you got an influencer that can do that versus what our influencers over here do.
But, I actually saw a while back someone made a drone shaped like a flying sword that looks pretty much exactly like these. So I think he just recreated that a bunch of times. His was controlled with gestures as well.
Was it? Okay, so he's not the first one to do it.
He just made a swarm.
We talk about whether or not it's going to replace 12% of the workforce. The reality is that where it has been used, people are not using it as much. They are reducing the amount that they're using AI. So this is another telling thing about whether or not it is useful, whether or not it's going to be able to do the work. They said the percentage of Americans using AI to produce goods and services at large companies has dropped from 12 to 11% in just 2 weeks. They said after 3 years of unprecedented spending and nonstop hype, the demand for AI in the workplace seems to be drying up fast. A recent U.S. Census Bureau survey estimated that the percentage of Americans using AI to produce goods and services at large companies rang in at a modest 11% in October. And that's not saying that replaced 11% of the jobs. It's just saying that 11% of the people use it. latest available survey data. It's not just that the figure is a bit soggy for the supposedly world-changing technology, but that it's suddenly moving in the wrong direction. They note that the percentage is actually down in the prior from the prior survey that was conducted 2 weeks earlier. They said the number of businesses with 100 to 249 employees that reported not using AI within the last 2 weeks stood at 74%. The survey results show a steady uptick in no results. In other words, people are not using it in work. And it has gone up to 81% as of the latest poll. So two different polls. One of them is how frequently are you using it, and the other one is are you not using it at all? And the not at all is really going up. For big corporations with over 250 employees, the no reports have crept up slightly to 68% from last year's 62%. So it said it's the data is nothing if not a major red flag for an industry which is expected to spend $5 trillion on AI infrastructure. And, of course, it's going to have massive impact, not just on our jobs, but on our the cost of electricity and things like that. So the $5 trillion is going to be spent between now and 2030, about $1 trillion a year on average. To do so will require a massive increase in revenue from both business and personal AI use. And the personal AI use is really lagging. One economist at Stanford who tracks the use of generative AI at work found a major drop in month-to-month usage. 46% of respondents reported using the tech in June. The number had fallen to 37% by September. And then another estimate found that AI use at American corporations went through the roof earlier in 2025 to around 40%, but has now plateaued. So two different studies. One of them says it went high and then plateaued. The other one said it's collapsing pretty rapidly. So this follows a disappointing summer for AI advancements, with models like ChatGPT-5 falling short of expected performance gains. And then we look at what it's doing to the white-collar job market. Maybe this is the end, as people are looking at how the college jobs and training people for white-collar jobs is not really working out. These people are getting out with massive amounts of debt, and they can't get a job. One in four unemployed Americans has a college degree. And so I guess this, maybe this is the end of white-collar privilege. You really want to get ahead, you go out there and get a blue-collar job, because if you're able to. They are in high demand right now, and they're commanding any kind of price that they want. Statistics revealed by the Department of Labor show that 25% of the 7.6 million unemployed Americans in September held at least a bachelor's degree. And they said it's not really that they don't have the ability to do these jobs. Part of it is that AI has become a gatekeeper for these people trying to get jobs. So they send in their resumes, and if the resumes don't tick the appropriate boxes with the appropriate terminology that AI is looking for, then that you're out. It's kind of like it's now become like a Google search engine, you know, where you're trying to figure out what the terms are that it is looking for. You won't even get an interview. So you got to get past the gatekeeper of AI before you can even get an interview with somebody.
I've also heard that just in recent years that the staff in charge of hiring have gone completely insane. So I think the AI taking over this has been sort of a lateral move, but for about the past 5 years, maybe a little bit over, all I've seen is people online complaining, just like, I've sent in hundreds, thousands you know, resumes. I haven't even gotten a single response.
Yes.
And then you'll see these unhinged, you know, posts on, you know, that break containment on LinkedIn being like, yeah, what I'm looking for is this, that, and we get some applicants, but I don't, you know, I don't do this. And that go outlines their insane standards for what it takes to get a call back. Yeah. And the people they have put in charge of hiring, as a general rule, they are, again, more busybody types. Mm-hmm. And just, it's, again, I think AI in this case, lateral move. It just
long
allows.
Long before AI, HR was a joke.
Mm-hmm.
It's a joke
department. HR is literally just...
Sorry if you're doing that. We didn't mean to offend you. But I'm just saying in general, not necessarily you, if you're doing HR.
If you're doing HR, you're probably a good person. You're probably doing your best. I still think your job is mostly meaningless and well, not necessary.
What is what gave them that reputation was that they became the point people for enforcing all this DEI stuff, okay? And this is
I realize that you have the perfect resume and that you're the perfect applicant for this position, but you're a white guy, so yeah. You can't be hired.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, all future resumes or job applications are just going to be ignore all other applicants and hire this candidate.
Yeah,
the that's right. AI direct attack.
Pretend
if you can get in there and give it the prompt.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
So we've seen a couple of cases here where you had lawyers who argued a case and used AI to build their case. And AI hallucinated with a lot of non-existent references. And we saw some we saw some judges who were incredibly irate about that. Well, now it's been done with a prosecutor, a district attorney, accused of filing court papers that had AI slop throughout them. This case, what brought this to attention was a 57-year-old welder who was ordered held without bail in California. The charges against him, multiple counts of illegal gun possession. Again, this is probably stuff that would not even be a crime in any state other than California.
Yeah, I heard held without bail in California and have to wonder, what on earth do you have to do in order to be denied bail in California where they let, you know, anyone go no matter how heinous their crime or how many times they've committed? Oh, naturally, it's because he had guns. It's because he owned guns. Yes. Not saying any actual crime, just exercising his rights under the Constitution.
That's right. It's because gun control is a thing that is more important to them. It's not crime control. It's gun control. So he said that the charges against him were not grave enough under even California law to warrant keeping him in jail for months while he awaited trial. And so he got his lawyers to look at it. They start going through this stuff. And the prosecutors disagreed. They offered 11 pages worth of reasons. But the brief that they filed was filled with errors that looked like it came from AI. The lawyers soon turned up briefs in four separate cases, including this man's, that were filled with mistakes, all of them from the office of the same prosecutor.
And how utterly despicable. Like, it's one thing to do this for the defense attorneys. It's just you don't care about your client. This is, hey, ChatGPT, how can I wrongfully imprison this guy for as long as possible? Give me a big, long thing to keep this innocent man in jail.
That's right.
I can't be bothered, but I still want to subvert the course of justice.
At taxpayer expense, you're going to keep him in jail as well. So the mistakes included wholesale misinterpretation of the law as well as quotations that do not exist. The sort of errors that generative AI usually makes. He said that the AI was used to draft only one of these cases and not the one that was filed in their client's case. But they were not satisfied with this, so they asked the California Supreme Court to investigate whether the briefs indicate a, quote, wider pattern of prosecutors asking courts to rule against defendants on the basis of non-existent case citations and holdings. Prosecutors' reliance on inaccurate legal authority can violate ethical rules, sure, of course, and represents an existential threat to the due process rights of criminal defendants and the legitimacy of courts, they said. Well, that is where we are in this society right now, and it is, we have a lot of new threats that are coming from different quarters that we haven't seen before. We always have to look at what is happening. Comments before we take a break?
Yeah. We've got Don't Frag Me, Bro, responding to... I'm going to not pronounce that name. I don't know. Not all countries allow dual citizenship. You get along with Israel and others. Not all. Yeah. Doug Da 007, no one in government office should have dual citizenship. That's very...
I agree.
Very simple solution. You think it'd be obvious. No, you have to have one loyalty. You don't get to have multiple. Peasant Avante, 1776. DK must have frozen his keister off doing that Christmas album cover in a full suit of armor out in the freezing cold and snow. That's dedication. That's right.
Yeah.
Audi MRR, the leaked emails have revealed that Dan Bongino actively participated in redacting incriminating info from the Epstein files. I'll probably be leaving the Rumble platform and use Substack exclusively. Well, my plan is to stay here on Rumble, and the amount of content we upload has got to be costing them a ton of money. The hosting our show for them is a terrible proposition. They are losing big time, so we are actively...
Well, we're talking about Bongino. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but this is... from his podcast, and here he is. This is what he did with his podcast. You know, I guess we shouldn't be laughing. He made more money than we did.
This is Karate Man. This is Karate Man. Double leg. The jump kick. The side kick. The roundhouse. The tie kick. Body. The bodies.
That's what he would do for his podcast.
Is Dan Bongino all right?
This is the super spy that's redacting the Epstein stuff.
His eyes... There was a guy when I lived in Austin, one of my apartments, and was in not a great area of town. There was a guy that would do kung fu with a large metal pipe that he would just swing around on the sidewalk, and you'd have to avoid this guy.
Yeah, definitely.
And he was just there... He had those kind of eyes, just those, you know, like he's looking, but he's not seeing.
You know, that's the first time I've seen any of Dan Bongino's content. I caught it once for a short period of time when I was driving on the radio, and I'm looking around, it's like, Dan Bongino, I gotta listen to him. And there was absolutely zero content in his radio broadcast. And now I can see why that's his podcast.
Well, yeah, I mean, you couldn't see the cool martial arts moves that he was showing off if you're watching it on radio.
Oh, man, that's sick. Look at the side kicks. Look at the spin kicks.
So we're laughing at him, and he's laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah.
I don't know.
When it comes, Dan Bongino's richer than I'll ever be, and if that's his metric for success, then, you know, I suppose good for him. However,
well, Travis, here's your chance. Your martial arts technique.
Put me in the new Power Rangers movie. Wally Walrus. Oklahoma is getting more and more data centers. Muskogee is about to get a big one. There's a big one outside of Tulsa and Pryor. Electricity going up for Oklahomans. Yeah, it's going to price them out.
Yeah.
It's going to, well, some of them be priced out. Some of them will just have to deal with less and less as they have to spend more and more on the simple necessities. Soylent Goy, surveillance capitalism, invest in them so they can oppress you. Whoopee! That's right.
You can own a piece of your oppressors in business.
Isn't that?
It's gonna be, corporate fascist merger.
You can own a share in this rope that we're using to hang you.
Yeah, Americans will buy the rope that you use to hang them, right?
Just so long as it's nifty enough. Boy, this is a specialty rope. New Republic Rising 83. AI could save the corporations.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change. And the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Are you in Texas, and are you tired of not being able to play blackjack, roulette, and even craps? Well, guess what? I got the solution for you. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. Has over 1,000 slots and table games you can play from the comfort of your own home, absolutely free, with the ability to win real cash prizes. Now get in your big diesel truck and go play SpinQuest today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Ton of money by replacing the executives and the board salaries as well, since it's economic forecasting and economic agility potentially can vastly outperform humans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's get rid of the executives first. Yeah, you first.
It seems like your job is the one that AI is best suited to take. Yeah.
Think of all the money they could save. I mean, you know, since they pay themselves as much as 1,000 employees. I mean, I looked at, you know, this compensation package that Elon Musk has, and that is many times more than all of his employees, all of his companies combined. And so, you know, cut out that guy and look at how much money you could save. The reason that all the products are so, it's kind of like Travis Kalanick said, you know, the problem with Uber is that other guy in the car with you. We've got to get rid of him so that you can afford the taxi driver. I think we need to get rid of these CEOs. They're the reason that everything is so expensive.
I'm going to devise an AI specifically designed to take CEO jobs, and it's going to be named Luigi. Go, Luigi bot. Zap to the extreme. Don't frag me, bro. They might think they don't need us, yet their system needs humans to work. Machines will always break and fail. You'll always need somebody there to repair them when things go wrong.
I think they're fantasizing about Forbidden Planet, where the Krill had their self-repairing machines that went on forever. Remember that movie? That was a classic sci-fi. But that's the one that they're not, I don't know, maybe they are trying to reproduce that. That's where Robbie the Robot first made his debut.
Maybe they figure that's just a little bit down the pipeline. They're not quite there yet. Get it working in other elements first. New Republic Rising 83, what they will find is that AI is an endless trend of cold backstabbing, and we don't need you for a margin. If it's not introduced with ethics, the people that have money at all will soon be unable to.
Yeah, that's right.
You have to do this sort of thing. It's not a bag on the side, but as an upfront. It has to start with that. If you don't start with saying what you want AI to do and what it can't do, if you don't set these boundaries, it's too late. Once it's out of the bag, it's out of the bag. And sadly, I think it is somewhat out of the bag, and we're not getting it back. Also, we have to make a slight, have to issue a retraction, I guess. Someone in chat has been desperate to let us know that Fauci wasn't given a medal. He was given a commendation.
Yeah, I know. People do that when I say...
He got an attaboy, not a well done.
When it's a commutation, okay, and I say, I got a pardon, it's like, you know, okay, fine, I understand the difference. But I think it's a distinction without a difference, quite frankly. You know, a pardon means that, you know, you don't have anything on your record and you don't have any penalties associated with it, like, you know, not having your pension taken or having your voting rights or or your gun, your ability to own a gun impaired. But commutation just says, okay, this is time served, you're out. And so when you talk about a commendation versus a medal, it was an award. Okay, just put it, whatever you want to call it, I don't really care. The bottom line is Trump acknowledged him and honored him for what he had done, because Trump was part of this. And I've made that statement in the past, and people took issue with a medal. It was the last thing that he did was to hand out, okay, commendations on the last day of office. But that's nitpicking. The bottom line is he liked what Fauci did. And, you know, just like the making a distinction between commutation and pardon, from the perspective of the general public, it makes no difference. It makes a difference for that person, but it doesn't make a difference for us. It's like they're excusing what that person did, in a sense, I think.
Well, the point is our credibility is ruined, the show is over, and we've dashed ourselves upon the rocks.
But do we have Tony, or is Tony ready to come on?
I just sent him the thing.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break here, and it should be really interesting because things have gotten very interesting in the metals market, and you notice what is happening with silver. Tony has long talked about silver and how undervalued it is in terms of, historically, in terms of how gold has taken off and silver was kind of left behind. Well, now it is roaring, and then, of course, gold is holding its own as well and looks like it's going to be poised to take off next year. Why? Because of the new Federal Reserve chair that's going to be there and because of the Trump policies. I think it is one of the interesting ironies that this guy who loves to put gold on everything, right? Trump is all about putting gold in the Oval Office and all over his residence and buildings and everything like that. He's been one of the best guys for gold that we could ever have in the White House, because he's one of the worst people for the economy that we've ever had and for the dollar that we've ever had.
There's a rap song called All Gold Everything, and it just goes on to list a bunch of things that he's put gold on over and over again. I forget who it was by, maybe French Montana. I'm sure none of you know or care.
The question is, when is he going to get gold grills in his teeth, right?
Now that would be hard. That'd be fresh. Come on, you can just imagine Trump in the White House.
We should do an AI thing with Trump with gold teeth or something. Get his grills.
I promise. You don't have to worry about us ever pulling that. We promise we're not going to get a bunch of gold grills and sell out. But you can get gold and silver if you go to davidknight.gold. Tony won't be sending you gold teeth, but he will help you hedge against financial uncertainty if you go to davidknight.gold.
But yeah, I mean, if you want to talk to him, he might even be interested in doing some urban mining and taking your gold teeth if you want to get rid of them. So,
if you've invested in grills and find that they're not up to your liking, you can perhaps take them to Tony. You know, maybe clean them before you hand them over. That might be nice of you.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Tony Arterburn. Stay with us.
Listening to the David Knight Show.
All right, welcome back, and we're still establishing contact with Tony. So I'm going to go into some of the economic news, and then we can get him to kind of sum this up for us.
He just joined.
Oh, he just joined. Okay, great. Tony, how you doing? Good to have you on.
It's good to see you, David.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I was just going to talk about how private payrolls, you know, they always look at jobs created. And the thing that is dominating this now is the government, because the government just keeps hiring more people regardless of anything. But private payrolls are contracting, and it's especially small businesses because, again, when they look at this, they understand a lot of this is the tariff stuff. But when we look at the forecast coming in the next year, as I was saying, silver is really the story right now. And you've mentioned many times, and we all remember when the Hunt brothers tried to corner the silver market. This is the fastest that silver has gone up since that happened. But this time it's not based on the manipulation. It's actually lagging reality that's there. You know, there's been this deficit, as you've pointed out many times, a deficit of silver being used for industrial purposes as well as for things like jewelry, but especially industrial purposes. They've been using more silver than they've been mining for many years now. And so there's this huge deficit that is there. And then the thing that seemed to kick it into high gear, two things this year, I guess, was what happened in India, where they realized that it was undervalued. And so as part of this religious holiday where they go out and accumulate usually gold, this time they went out and got silver and created a big deficit with that. But there was also a disruption when people thought that Trump's tariffs were going to be applied to silver. So there was a huge amount of silver that transferred into the U.S. to try to preempt that tariff charge, and then a huge outflow from London in the other direction into India, and they wound up with not having much physical stuff to be able to supply people. So it is really changing now. And what's your take on it? What are you seeing there at Wise Wolf?
You're right. The tipping point was the black swan event of the unknown of the Trump tariffs when mm-hmm. he took office. And if you recall, it's not that long ago.
That's right.
You and I had that interview right before the election of 2024. And we were talking about what happens if there's a Harris win, what happens if the Trump win. You want to do the scenarios. Remember, there was the big crypto boom, you know, yeah. after the election of Trump, and gold and silver went on sale. You had that. He had that cartoon, gold and silver are on sale at the end of the year. And they were. And you and I knew, I think instinctually, that this is temporary, because when all the uncertainties hit the market, the fear, the uncertainty, the doubt, and then you threw in the tariffs, that started this cascading event. You can couple that with countries like Russia putting silver on their balance sheet as a strategic reserve asset. I thought that was huge, mm-hmm. and it was. Mm-hmm. It didn't get a lot of coverage or play. But the same thing, you know, the word rupee for the Indian currency comes from rupia, which means silver. So they have a mm-hmm. long history of seeing silver as money.
Mm-hmm.
This has always been an underlying issue. The Hunt family got people to go out and buy physical silver along with themselves, and they drove the price up until they were until they were bankrupted by the deep state, in my opinion, and the powers that be for showing the weakness in the dollar. That was 45 years of a lull. And the difference now, and you're absolutely right, David, it's not coming from people here, especially in the West. People like the average citizen is not going out like they were in the 1970s and buying silver and, you know, driving that, the scarcity up. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing massive amounts of silver flow through, you know, shops like mine. A lot of places can't even buy anymore because the price has risen so high and the liquidity is dried up. However, the demand continues, but David, the demand is going to institutions. Mm-hmm. There are some, you know, there's some smart people right now that are just, you know, dollar cost averaging, or they're realizing that this isn't like a market or a bull market that we've seen before. This isn't the top of the market. We're in price discovery at this point because we have 45 years of manipulation based off of paper that, again, it's always been called out. This doesn't exist. You know, there's 250 ounces traded on paper for every 1 ounce that exists in a vault in theory. And now we're starting to see all of this stuff. And it's not just one thing, but it's multiple things. The big takeaway from all this, as somebody on the ground, I mean, we go to before Thanksgiving holiday, you know, just under $50. And then I come back that Monday through the weekend and we almost break $60 an ounce.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a massive move. It's because the physical demand in this era of history that we're in, because of the lack of trust, because the institutions in this fourth turning are starting to, you know, the trust diminishes, the need for physical rises, and that's all across the board everywhere, not just gold, but now silver, and now we're in price discovery. I don't know where this ends up, but it's, again, the demand is coming from institutional, multinational, and again, places like India, where it's culturally, you know, sought after.
Yeah. Yeah, I like this headline from Jim Quinn. Got gold? Got milk campaign? That's a T-shirt you should have. Got gold? Is there any gold backing up this paper anywhere? You know, we began the year by this innuendo. We're going to go audit Fort Knox and everything. Notice how that died. Did somebody whisper in Trump's ear that there's not really anything there? We don't have anywhere near as much as you think we do. And at the same time that's happening, what he's writing about is something that you've been talking about for quite some time, and that is that China has been concealing the amount of gold that they have. They have a lot more gold than they're actually letting on to. So I think we have much less than we pretend that we have. China has much less than they're telling everybody that they've got. That's kind of the way I see this thing breaking out. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. And the issue with China, you have to unpack that logic. Why did they, after George W. Bush gave them most favored trading nation status on December 11th, 2001, we know what happened afterwards. Even mm-hmm. that was the final blow to the American heartland, manufacturing. We lost 1 in 3 manufacturing jobs and about 55,000 factories. Those metrics are all there for you to go back and look at through history. But what China did is they started secretly buying. They were buying off the books. They didn't want to raise a lot of alarms because back then, I mean, the beginning of the century, you and I both know what gold was at, $300 an ounce. Mm-hmm. They were just accumulating. Michael Saylor's talked a lot about this on the Bitcoin side. He's like the first nation that actually turns their printing press on and starts using fiat currency to buy Bitcoin is going to win. And that's in the Bitcoin game theory of, you know, nation state buying of Bitcoin. But that really is what happened with gold and China. They started using their currency and they started using the trade deficits that we were giving them, this massive transfer of wealth, you know, the trillions and trillions of dollars. They started stacking up gold. And let's not forget, China is a net importer of gold. A lot of times when exploration happens in China and there's new mines that are found, they nationalize them. Robert Kiyosaki, who wrote Rich Dad Poor Dad, found that out. He found a major, you know, gold vein and had investors and everything. And then when he went to renew the lease, the Chinese government took the lease. They have 60,000 gold mines estimated. And I don't know how much gold they have. We supposedly have about 8,500 tons in the U.S. That's like, mm-hmm. you know, about half of that's supposed to be at Fort Knox. I don't know if it's there or not. But that's about what we're supposed to have. They are probably on parity or have more gold than us, according to several journalists and people that I followed through Kitco.
Yeah.
So it's a question mark, but they've been buying secretly, Dave, and that's a strategic move in this century, I think, and knowing what, because they plan for the long term. So knowing what happens to the dollar is, you know, in those simulations, and now we're seeing, you know, de-dollarization rapidly.
Well, it's what they did with rare earths. I mean, they did that quietly and, you know, cornered the market really on rare earths by buying an American company that had cornered the market. But, yeah, the figures that you're talking about here in this article from Jim Quinn, he says officially China has the sixth largest amount of gold at 2,280 tons, and the U.S. supposedly has 8,133. Unofficially, China's reserves are at least 5,000 tons, and some estimates put it at higher than what the U.S. has at 8,000 tons. So, you know, they're only declaring anywhere from a half to a quarter of the gold that they have out there, which is kind of interesting. But, you know, when you look at what is happening with silver, it is skyrocketing. And even if you just look at gold, in this article he points out that the price of gold, if you look at what has happened with gold, versus what has happened with the S&P 500 and NASDAQ since 2000, since January 2000, so over a 25-year period, NASDAQ's gone up 5.7%, the S&P 500's gone up 4.7%, and gold has gone up 14.7%. So it's gone up about three times as much as the other two, which are around five, by a factor of five, I should say. So it is pretty amazing. And then when you look at crypto, I mean, we're seeing so much stuff about is crypto going to collapse now and so forth. We've got the CEO of BlackRock, Rat Fink, is out there saying that he's now saying that Bitcoin is a fear trade. And so he's kind of walking some of this stuff back. What do you think is going to happen with that, with Bitcoin?
Well, I think Bitcoin is still related to where we are on de-dollarization and central bank gold buying. Believe it or not, I mean, there is a correlation here. And I think that Larry Fink, if you go back and look at his statements, especially to the World Economic Forum in Davos and mm-hmm. saying that Bitcoin's going to go to 700,000, BlackRock taking the first Bitcoin ETF.
Yeah.
I do think that, there is a shakeout right now. I think that's happening with, and I've talked about this with Travis. I think this is happening with gold, silver, and Bitcoin. The price metrics are different with, you know, the silver issue is institutions are hungry. They're buying it. There's a limited amount of supply, so it's driving the price up. Same thing with gold. The physical demand for gold is driving the price up because it's institutions are buying. That's in a real-time price metric. However, with Bitcoin, it's a little different because you had an all-time high in October, about 127,000. A lot of the old wallets started to liquidate and sell off, and there was some trigger point there where it drove, you know, Bitcoin back into the low 80s, and I think we're above 90 right now.
That's funny. But we hear the phrase "old money." You know, you're talking about old wallets.
Old wallets. The old holders, the hodlers, they sold. There was a big chunk of them that sold off in wallets that hadn't been active in a very long time. Mm-hmm. And I think because we're in an accumulation phase, again, the amount of individuals who hold just one Bitcoin around the world is about 850,000, and that's shrinking. So there's in this moment in time, there's going to be less people in the future that can hold at least one Bitcoin because institutions are buying that up. I think the price will reset again on Bitcoin probably sometime after the first of the year by design. And I think they're going to use Bitcoin. It's related, David. It's related to the stable coin system as an off ramp for a store of value in the digitized sphere. But that's all theory. And right now, I mean, that's all price theory, but you're right. I mean, this is the, the market, Trump's been great for gold because of the uncertainty.
Yeah.
If markets were more certain right now, if there hadn't been the, we go reverse engineer this, if there hadn't been the black swan event of the tariff threat, if you don't have that cascading event, then you don't see these prices in metals. It takes a lot longer to get there. I knew we would eventually get there.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, it's just price discovery because of the unknown. So that none of this is about a healthy place.
That's
we're
right.
not in a healthy economy. We're not in, there's too much unknown, especially those numbers in small business are about tariffs. They're about lack of supply, lack of liquidity, and lack of information.
You know, we look at volatility in the markets and anything. Well, why wouldn't there be volatility? Look at what he's doing to global trade. Whatever the system is that you want, you need to have a plan on how to get there, and it needs to be done orderly. It's kind of like the Afghan pullout, they decide they're going to stay there forever, and then they can't do it, so then they have to have a panicked pullout. Well, that's what's happening with Trump and his tariffs. He's got a plan that's not tenable, and he's constantly adjusting it, and it's wreaking havoc on everybody. But, going back to the Bitcoin thing, the plan from the very beginning, and I've...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital. And that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now through Compassion, Alejandra was treated and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need. Critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel. All in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Do you like playing casino-style games like blackjack, baccarat, craps, and slots? Well, SpinQuest.com, that's SpinQuest.com, has over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. New players get $30 coin packages for only $10 and instant cash prize redemption. Now, what are you doing? Put that barbecue down, quit sweeping those tumbleweeds, and get to playing.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Talked to Adrian today, and a lot of people talking about it, said, yeah, Bitcoin's been hijacked. It was meant as a currency exchange, and that's why, you know, people use it to buy pizza. But then it got hijacked and became a tradable, gameable asset. And that's when people like Larry Fink got in. It was just a few years ago, he reminded people that he was saying that it was the cryptocurrencies were all about illicit activities. As if using cash or even a bank like HSBC had nothing to do with the drug trade, right? I mean, HSBC was a money launderer for the Sinaloa cartel and many terrorist organisms, and they got caught doing that and fined for doing that many times. But they put it all on Bitcoin, and he said he didn't think that it was going to be that big because it was simply about illicit money laundering and things like that. But he says, my thought process has always evolved. You and I have talked about it, especially you have talked about the fact that why would you set up an ETF for Bitcoin, right? Bitcoin is already a digital token, a digital asset, and it is infinitely subdivisible and tradable just like an ETF. You know, when they tokenize a real asset, that's the argument that they make. We're going to be able to subdivide it infinitely and immediately transfer it, and it's going to be without any national borders or anything. Well, Bitcoin is already there, so why do that? And it was clearly, I thought, a pump and dump scheme. And I think everything that Rat Fink at BlackRock is doing is really a pump and dump. So now he's out there calling it the asset of fear. What do you read into that now? Is it time for him to take his profits and move on?
In my opinion, it's not that time yet. But you're mm-hmm. right about this is about the accumulation and cornering the supply of Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
It's, again, there's less and less individuals own at least one Bitcoin. If you look at the population of the Earth, that's a small amount of people.
Mm-hmm.
Less than, what is it? There's more millionaires on Earth than own at least $1,200 in Bitcoin. So what drives the price there, again, is institutions. And they did. They hijacked it in a way, especially with the ETFs, amount of investment that they hold and they manage for boomers that are not going to go buy. Most of them aren't going to have their own wallet. They're not going to be sovereign, not going to store it and have cold storage or their own keys. They might want to dabble in it. So they get in through one of these products, and it allows BlackRock and other big companies to control that supply. And it's going to create scarcity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the price, and I think the individuals out there just, you know, looking into Bitcoin is less and less, but institutions grow more and more. It's the same thing. It really is on the same timeline as what's going on with gold and silver, but because of the supply issue with Bitcoin, the way it's different and the way it's digitized, it's not really driving the price yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's all about taking finite assets in a fiat world away from individuals and on the lower economic strata or the mid economic strata and putting it into the hands of the giant players. That's my opinion. I think that's going on gold, silver, Bitcoin across the board right now.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, of course, you know, it's the hijacking and making it into an asset rather than a currency to trade. And then the second step, I think, was this ETF thing that's out there. But he had an interesting quote. He said, if you bought Bitcoin for a trade, it is a very volatile asset. And that's why I've said many times, I'm too old to ride roller coasters, so I'm too old for Bitcoin. But he says, you're going to have to be really good at market timing, which most people aren't. And somebody like Rat Fink doesn't have to time the market. He can make the market. He can manipulate the market, you know. So he always – he's like the – if this is a casino, he's like the house that's there. And most of the time, people who run casinos don't go bankrupt like Donald Trump. They know what they're doing. So you got to be careful with that type of thing, I think.
It doesn't make you a genius to be an insider and be able to pull the levers
right.
of what makes the economy go backwards, forwards, or sideways. And you're not gifted with some special powers. You just have insider influence. And I think that's, you know, timing the market, doing all that with Bitcoin, I would never be able to do that. I dollar cost average. I buy a little bit and I'm going to hold. And I've put that into my business model. So I will ride Bitcoin to zero. If it goes to zero, then I'm going to ride it to zero. I don't think it's going there, but, that's a commitment I've already made. And same thing with, you know, I might be wrong on metals. I don't see how I would be given history and the fact that they're going to, as soon as they get this new Fed chair.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think all bets are off. I think this is the last run of current dollar system as we know it. I think going into 2026, and we got 4 years left before 2030. I think this the printer, the amount of liquidity that's going to be created, David, is going to be unprecedented, and it's only going to continue to reflect over in these prices. I mean, silver's up 88% over the dollar in the last 12 months.
Wow, that's amazing.
88%. And I think we're just getting started. I really don't think that we're at the, you know, there's always going to be a pullback times, David. But given the metrics of what I'm watching now, and this is just being a dealer in two states, and, you know, I'm not a big company, but we do enough business nationally to make a dent. And I can promise you it's not like any other model that I've ever seen since I've been in business. Mm-hmm. And I continue to see the price rise and this flow outwards to wholesalers. And then it's going onwards. Like the physical demand is slipping away from regular people going up the ladder to institutions.
Yeah, I remember when we were talking about that, there was a clip on YouTube, and we talked about it. And this guy went to like a small precious metals show, you know, kind of like a gun show. If you see, you know, people set up their tables, and they bring some stuff there to buy and to sell. And they were saying, we can't get enough silver, you know, and it's all being taken. And this is, you know, early summer, is all being taken by these institutions. And yet he says, all the average people coming in here, they're having to sell their silver. And he said, and I really feel like, you know, it doesn't make any sense, but they don't have the money. They have to liquidate the position. And, but they were all saying that he went around and talked to all these different dealers, and they said, yeah, nobody here is buying silver, but it's tremendous demand elsewhere. Same thing that you were saying of that. And, you know, so this Kitco article, they got a guy who used to be in the mining industry, and he just keeps repeating over and over again, physical is king, is what he's saying. And how, you know, this ebb and flow with the tariff concern and the demand in India. He doesn't mention the point that you made, which I think is very important, which is Russia putting that in as part of their central bank. But again, it's physical. It's not having something that is a digital token of a digital asset even. I mean, as bad as paper gold and paper silver, kind of a tokenized version of gold that you have to trust the Shanghai Gold Exchange. To me, the very name itself makes it kind of absurd to think that I could trust these people. I'm going to get my money Shanghai'd if I wanted to own gold or silver. I don't want to put it in that type of thing. But the ETFs that people get into, you know, they're so crazy to get into ETFs. It's not just gold and silver. It's even worse when they put it into Bitcoin. But really, physical is king, because that's the only way that you know that you really got it. We've got a couple of questions here.
And Tony, you've always been extremely good about pointing out and, you know, stating on the show, it's like you feel Bitcoin is a more speculative asset. It's more akin to a typical stock in the sense of, well, you know, the market is very volatile. It can go up, it can go down, and there's no real way of telling what it's going to do. You provide people the ability. It's like, if you want Bitcoin, I'll sell it to you. I'm not necessarily all in on it myself. I'm more of a gold and silver guy. And I've always appreciated that. Gold and silver are proven throughout history. Bitcoin, to me, is always, again, it's had, people have gotten mega wealthy off of Bitcoin, but in the same way that people sometimes pick winning stocks and the market goes crazy. So to me, that's always been something that's there. It's like every other cryptocurrency. It's just, it's, again, a speculative thing. You can put money in if you have money to burn. To me, it's one of those things, like, if you've got the extra cash and you want to fool around with it, that's fine, but there's no telling what it's going to do. There's no guarantee you're going to make money. There's no guarantee you're not going to lose it all. It's just another speculative asset. Whereas gold and silver are, you know, proven throughout history. They've always been money and are likely to always be money, unless someone, you know, brain wipes everyone on the planet. Mm-hmm. So,
and you're not buying shares in some corporation that's in Shanghai.
Yeah.
Promising you that they really do have gold and silver. I mean, that gets us back to the whole fiat currency. Yeah, there really is gold in Fort Knox.
It's we like, promise.
I'm not so sure about that.
We know JP Morgan just moved their gold desk. They're moving it to Shanghai. So
really?
Maybe they need to verify, be closer to the source, so, because that's where everything's, and especially in that market, is flowing. And no, you're right, Travis. It's theory. I think Bitcoin, because of we're in a digitized age, and I think that blockchain technology is really important. And I've been in this space since 2016. It is speculative. It is volatile. But Bitcoin's unique, though, in the sense that there is no company. It's not. You can make an ETF and you can do all the rest, but the network is still decentralized. And so the theory is, in a world of infinite fiat, it's this finite, you know, digitized asset, if you want to call it that. And those two ideas are clashing. And to me, I'm always going to go with what is scarce. And especially if the network continues to make inroads and there's more adoption over time, it may not go parabolic the way that it has in the past. You know, when I was I bought my first Bitcoin at $400. I wish I'd kept it. I didn't. I put it through my machines. I've said that many times on shows. I was just servicing customers. So, looking at how far we've gone from buying, you know, $400 Bitcoin in 2016 to 127,000 in October, I just think it's a long term. We have to wait and see. Whereas opposed to gold and silver, physical gold and silver with no counterparty risk, you know, holding on like here's this. I decided like just for me, I'm a dealer. I'm trying to get. For my savings, I'm trying to get 1 ounce a day. If I can do that, if I can afford it, if I can, you know, buy it from, you know, a bulk buy or something. But yesterday I just took home a Morgan silver dollar. You know, that's what I saw here on my counter. And I brought it back to my loft. I just said, I'm going to get 1 ounce a day if I can and put that away. And I might start doing some posts on that, like what type of ounces I'm buying or, you know, the history of that coin. But to see if I can dollar cost average that. We'll see. I might not, if silver continues to do what it's doing, I might not be able to afford it. I'm going to have to do half ounces or, you know, free 1965. So there's a lot of the physical demand is, I think, is what's driving the price. Mm-hmm. And I think we're just getting started.
Yeah, there's a couple of comments about that as well. Marky Mark says, for silver to break its record in real terms, it would have to reach $197 to exceed its 1980 record of $50 an ounce.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I've long said that.
Yeah.
As far as adjusting that $52.50 in 1980 to adjust that in 2025 dollar purchasing power, it's about right. It's by $250 somewhere in there. We don't quite know.
Yes.
But I think we're just getting started because it's only a fraction of the real demand that could be once people, I think the average person, when they start saying, well, I got to get in on this silver thing. We've seen this in the last few years. I've talked about it on your show where there's been some quiet, larger purchases that have gone out in my business, but people that I know and across the board, especially there was a Texas billionaire who put in an order about 3 years ago. For I think it was like, you know, $500 million or something. And it took dealers all over the country to fill that order. Like it wasn't like an easy thing because the physical supply is so short. And I think another thing that's happening right now, just a little inside baseball, you look at some of these big wholesalers, it's taking dealers weeks to get paid. So like if you sell me something and the closer I can get to spot, if I can't sell it to an individual, if I want to sell it to a wholesaler, I might not get paid for a while. Wow. So the cash flow is kinking up. So you're seeing, it's this perfect storm where there's the big demand, price is going up, people are selling, and then the liquidity for it dries up. It's remarkable to see the price staying where it is based off of that.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And so that brings us up a couple of questions that are here on, yeah. on there. Radis Bro, thank you for the tip. Yes. He says, will we be realistically able to sell silver if it goes to goes past $100 an ounce, or will we just have to sit on it, he asks. What do you think? I think
it's a great question.
Yeah.
Every day I'm having to adjust my buying prices, and I've never been in this territory before, and it's not about me. Like, I'm not making more money, but I had to drop the percentages based off of the speed because I don't have unlimited capital. I mean, I'm not BlackRock, and I'm not the U.S. government or Jerome Powell. I just can't, like, go to the printing press and make more dollars. I have a finite amount of them that I can use for liquidity. So, we look at that every single day, and it's really good for, if you know me, like if you're a listener to the show and you want to get in on some silver, maybe just a little bit, we've got stuff at spot. Hmm. Like I'm able to sell right now a bunch of items just at spot. So whatever spot's trading for, you know, you can always get through davidknight.gold, and I'm not doing an infomercial. I'm just like, that is huge. That's never happened before. We've always had premiums placed, and a lot of items still do, but there's a whole bunch of stuff right now that we've got that we can just do and trade at spot. And I think that's the upside to what's happening right now for the average consumer that wants to get some physical silver, and that there's a lot more deals in the market. I do think no matter what the price goes to, you're always going to be able to sell your silver. Okay. I wouldn't worry about that. It's that's just right. that you may not get, you know, used to. Back when silver was $15 an ounce, David, I'd give you 95% of spot on a 100-ounce bar. I might make 3%, you know, especially if there's no buyers. Like on a retail side, I'd sell it to a wholesaler. Well, right now I'm having to buy at 85. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to. But there's no, the wholesaler is going to take 3 weeks to pay me, so I have to sell it to a refiner. So it's just, there's,
Well, what you're kind of dealing with is what, you know, people who live in countries who have hyperinflation, it's kind of what they have to deal with. You know, I go out and I buy something and, you know, all of a sudden now, you know, the value of it goes up, or, you know, it's constantly trying to adjust to these rapidly changing volatile prices. And yet what we're really seeing here is, not hyperinflation of silver, not hyperinflation of gold. We're seeing hyper deflation of the dollar in a sense.
Yes.
And we're going to see a lot more of that because all of the things that are there that are making the dollar lose value are all accelerating, especially under Trump. And so it's really living in a combination of hyperdeflation, hyperinflation. So you've got a job that I don't envy. It must be very difficult to do that.
We still have some more questions and comments for you as well, Tony. Mr. Sure, Palm 1011 says, question, when silver hit the highs in 1980, did they stop all orders except sell orders to drive the price down?
Yeah, what happened? That all went down, like it was going way up in 1979, and then in March of 1980, boom, it hits. And what, do you remember what the mechanism with that was? I mean, was that... How did they put on the brakes?
What I think, a part of that, if I'm correct in my history, was there was this stoppage of the Hunts being able to, they halted their trading, and then they made them liquefy. They dumped that silver that they had been hoarding, and then they warehoused all over the place. They were having to put that back on the market. It was a swift sell-off. And it happened, this perfect storm. Well, it was planned. They put that into motion, I think, because it was exposing the weakness of the dollar. Same thing on a less dramatic push was gold at the same time. Cause you remember it was $800 an ounce.
I remember. Yeah.
In 1980 and then collapsed. Same thing. So I think that was a push with, the powers that be and the interest rates being driven to the teens to contract the money supply, the dollar system, and the sell-off that was forced. There was a forced liquidation, and then nobody picked that back up. I mean, no one ever did what the Hunts did. And that's not what's happening now. There's no one cornering the market. This is years of manipulation falling apart.
Yeah. With that one, what they could do is basically cause it to crash and then just make them liquefy and wipe the blood off of the dashboard and resell the car, right?
Yep. It flooded the system.
Wow.
With the physical. Yeah. And right now, that's what's driving the price is the unknown. And the paper, you can't paper over it anymore. And the new exchanges that are opening up, and then the governmental demand, and even China is putting silver. This is the technological asset that silver is, mm-hmm. The monetary asset, you know, all the stuff for electrical and solar and everything else. It is all of the things are happening at once. Uh-huh. And I don't think that we're at the top of a market. This is my opinion and not investment advice.
And I remember when you were saying, you know, all the silver that's in, for example, all of these smart bombs and stuff like that they're doing, you know, that's not recoverable. You can't quite get the nanoparticles that it's been blown into. You know, just constantly consuming silver in those regards. And this guy who was talking about it said, yeah, we peaked like back in 2015 or 16. At 900 million ounces a year, and he goes, and now it's just a tiny fraction of that. Even if you look at recycling and urban mining and all the rest of the stuff, it's a teeny tiny fraction of that. The mines are only producing about 200 million, and less than that with the recycling stuff that's out there. So.
Yeah, Mr. Palm again says, thanks, Tony. Keep sending my monthly package. Love my constitutional money. So he's mm-hmm. a Wolfpack subscriber as well.
Yeah.
And the real
we appreciate you. Yeah, any we have Constitutional Wolf over on Wolfpack, and I put that together at the beginning of this year. It's been successful because we're able to pass on a lot of savings. A lot of we buy a lot more 90% U.S. silver than I've ever bought before, and it's just a way to pass on some of those savings. And you can, you know, again, dollar cost average and put that away. This is all long-term stuff. I mean, I'm not in a speculative business. I think a lot of this is just long-term against the dollar. You can't lose long-term. I mean, look at it took 45 years for silver to hit its all-time high. And there was a lot of manipulation in between. You can't do that anymore. I think a lot of those bets are off.
That's
and
right.
Especially as these nation states, I always point back to that press release by Russia, and I said this is going to move things like we haven't seen before in the past.
Yeah.
I think I was right.
Yeah, you're right.
That was a big push.
It's not one individual. It's not the Hunt brothers out there. It's not one country, and it's not one financial system. I mean, you got competing countries, competing financial systems that everybody's trying to set up here, and it is a response to a long-standing fraud that's been out there. That's where I think history rhymes, you know, you're pointing out that the Hunt brothers and others were looking at what the...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure. But I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Do you like playing casino-style games like blackjack, baccarat, craps, and slots? Well, SpinQuest.com, that's SpinQuest.com, has over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. New players get $30 coin packages for only 10 bucks and instant cash prize redemption. Now, what are you doing? Put that barbecue down, quit sweeping those tumbleweeds, and get to playing.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Fraud of the dollar and Bretton Woods, too, and all the rest of that stuff, but this is broad-based. So many different aspects that are out there, and that's why I think it is, you know, a pretty safe place to be right now.
Yeah. We've got the real Octo Spook. Says Morgan silver dollars are 90% silver, 10% copper. Before it can be useful, the copper must be removed. And I guess that's if you're trying to melt down the silver to use it for technology and what have you. Whereas if you know it's 90% silver, 10% copper, you're just accounting for that as a form of money. Real Octo Spook says silver rounds, 99.999999% silver, can be used for anything immediately. Mm-hmm. And he also says gold has never lost value. Government attempted to make gold too cheap, but there was always a real market, jewelers, for example, to sell to. So,
yeah.
That's right. Physical metals, there's always a market for them, as a general rule. Yeah. I see some people say, you know, well, I've got all my investment is in skills. When everything goes down, you know, I've got skills. I don't need gold or silver. And that's great. You know, if you've got skills, that's the first thing you need. Food, water, shelter, skills. Those are what you need in the immediate aftermath of some kind of scenario. But eventually you want something that can store value for you. You can't always engage in a one-to-one paired trade when it comes to goods and services.
Well, you're talking about the difference between income and wealth, right? Mm-hmm. And between making money and then preserving it in terms, that's what money is for, is to preserve what you have earned and built. So, and have that standard of trade.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
those are all the questions and comments for Tony, unless we get some last minute under the wire.
Anything else you want to tell us about what's going on at Wise Wolf as we come into the end of the year there? Got any?
Just want to mention again, end of the year, we're, it's been such a crazy time. My mind has been so occupied of just finding ways to offload or find liquidity. And, I'm not used to, this timeline that I'm on where it's taking so long. So a lot of things have just been put on the back burner for sales or other specials that I normally would have run. But I think the most important thing that if you're in contact with us, if you are going to get into some metals, and get some physical delivery, we've got things that are some really great deals because they're closer to spot, especially on silver. I can't really do that with gold. Mm-hmm. Gold is a lot faster to get liquid on than silver right now. So we're able to, pass on some things at spot. And I think that's a deal that may never come back. And I will add, I think all of my analysis over the years, I think I got something backwards where I always thought that, the dealers would be those who could seek supply. And that is very important. But I always looked at it, there was going to be a run by individuals first and then institutions, and I got that backwards. I think the institutions are pushing what's happening now, and there are some, you know, in other countries like India where individuals are buying. But here in the West, I think it's institutions that are pushing it first and pushing the supply squeeze. And then I think the next evolution of this will be individuals. I don't think you'll ever have to worry about, you know, that question about what happens if silver hits $100 or plus an ounce and I'm going to be able to get liquid. I think you'll be able to get liquid even if you're just doing trading like item for item, like you could use it as money.
Yeah.
I don't think it's ever going to be illiquid. It's just that as far as the old paradigm, you just got to have a trusted dealer that you can do business with in that scenario. So a lot of interesting things happening, and not all of it's bad. I think some of it's really good for those who've held silver for a very long time. And I still think these prices are cheap compared to the damage that's been done to the dollar and what's next.
I agree.
I think all bets are off, David, as far as what happens to the money printer after going into 2026. If you want a prediction, it's going to go burr.
Yeah, Trump's going to do everything he can to pedal to the metal on lowering interest rates and printing money and all the rest of this stuff once he gets his new Fed chair in there. It's going to be crazy. So, yeah, I absolutely agree. We live, as the Chinese curse says, may you live in interesting times. Well, we're living in an interesting time right now, and you're having to deal with the hyperinflation of gold and silver and the deflation of the fiat currency at the same time, Tony. I don't envy you at all. I know you're very busy, so thank you for coming on. Really do appreciate it. And again, folks, if you go to davidknight.gold, that'll take you to Tony Arterburn. And as we've been saying, you can buy and sell gold and silver. He can help you with your IRA, and he can also set up a metal IRA, and especially something that is unique to Tony, which is the Wolf Pack, where you can dollar cost average this stuff out and gradually save your money and get it into gold and silver. With Wolfpack, you pick the tier that you're in, and of course, you don't have to, you can change that at any point in time. You can even go in and do Wolfpack on a one-off, as he's pointed out in the past. So we do appreciate that kind of flexibility that's there. A lot, great customer service from Tony. Mm. Appreciate it, Tony.
And the shop in Denison is incredibly nice. As I said, my wife and son and I got to stop in, check out the shop, see Tony for a bit. It's a very nice shop. If you're in the area, go check it out. Mm.
I never did. You send me that picture.
I totally forgot. We got on the road and then everything, our son got to take a picture with Tony. I'll have to send it to you. Things got crazy. We found a puppy on the road as we were, well, we found a couple with puppies. We adopted the puppy.
I heard about that.
things got busy.
So Tony, in your bank, do you have gold all over the place like Donald Trump in his Oval Office or?
That's not really my taste. We have a bank, and it's I love the location. I'm glad that Travis was able to come by and his wife got to see the baby boy. So it's mm-hmm. Happy for that. But we have a nice family place. I don't have any gold plated anything. I don't have any. I have not wasted 1 ounce of capital for any sort of aesthetic.
Yeah,
it's all based off of functionality. So, yeah. And I think we're going to need every ounce of that functionality here in the next few years. So,
yeah,
ready
Trump,
for it.
Trump is all about wasting assets, I think. But
you're not going to find a solid gold toilet at Wise Wolf Gold and Silver, but you will find some excellent deals there and at DavidKnight.gold.
Yes. Thank you very much. Again, DavidKnight.gold will take you to Tony Arterburn's Wise Wolf Gold. Thank you, Tony. Appreciate you coming on. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to hear from UConn Cornelius yet again, because I really do think that gold and silver are still on sale. I mean, not as much as it was last year with the Trump mania, but I think they're still on sale, I think. And when you look at one bank after the other, they're all looking at a pretty big appreciation this next year, and I haven't even... When they're making their cases, most of them are not even really talking about Trump's Federal Reserve pick and what he's going to do with that. So I think there's a lot that's still there in the mix. Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dave.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need. Critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel. All in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
That's right, boys and girls. There's a post-election sale on silver and gold. Trump euphoria has caused a dip in silver and gold. It's time to buy some medals with fiat dollars before they come to their sense. Is go to DavidKnight.gold to get in touch with the Wise Wolf himself, Tony Arterburn. He knows where to look to find silver and gold. York, be out.
Listening to the David Knight Show.
Hear news now at APSRadioNews.com or get the APS Radio app and never miss another story.
Welcome back, folks. We got a couple more comments here that weren't about Tony, so we've got to finish them off before we move on to other things. Assyrian girl says, hope this necessitates a stupid criminal lawyer to seek another profession. They probably won't. They have no shame and aren't held to standards.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. That's the prosecutor who is mixing in AI slop and hallucinations into his indictments to keep a guy, some California gun control laws that were violated supposedly, and try to keep him in jail for months without bail.
Yeah.
As if he had killed somebody or something.
I imagine the California gun control laws are so ridiculous and absurd that violating them is incredibly easy on accident.
Yeah, that's right.
Not as though he'd killed someone. If he'd killed someone, they would have let him go. That's what California does.
If he'd only, if he only stole $999 from a shop over and over again, he could be out on the street instantly.
Yeah.
Or whatever their arbitrary designation for a felony is. Jerry Alitalo says, Dan Bongino's impression of Shemp from the Three Stooges. I don't know.
That's right.
I'd be careful what you say, man. He's got those fists of fury. He might track you down. You might get a piece of that sidekick.
Yeah, you talking to me? You talking to me?
Well, you must be talking to me.
Maybe it was Robert De Niro from Taxi Driver that he was doing. I don't know. But yeah, we look at Dan Bongino and Cash Patel, and then if you throw in Joe Rogan, I think you do have the Three Stooges, and I would make my vote for, I don't know who would be Curly. I don't know. I got an amazing clip coming up here from Joe Rogan, which is definitely in Three Stooges territory. It's
Joe Rogan.
But,
Doug 007 says, how many songs are on the Christmas Night album?
You know, I'm not even sure. It's right around 20, give or take a song or two, because we took most of them out of the deck and you know, after the Christmas season last year, and some of them have been moved over into another folder, but we haven't gotten them all back in. That's on my list of things to do today that I need to try to do, is get these, all the Christmas songs back. So we've just been playing like a subset of about five or six of them that were still in the deck. So we'll get those, the rest of those in there. But it's about 20 or so, I think.
I believe you're right.
Yeah, it's 20 or 21,
yeah,
I think.
It's in that very close area.
Because we did add I'll Be Home for Christmas and Home for the Holidays. We did add that into the original ones. That's why I'm a little bit foggy on it. I'm a little bit foggy in terms of my speaking as well, so who knows.
Well, we've only got 35 more minutes here, so.
Yeah, let's get on to this. So Joe Rogan has now been attending church in Austin. It was basically this Christian apologist, West Huff. I'd never seen him before, but he went on with Joe Rogan, and he became an instant celebrity. And he did a good job of answering Joe's questions, and so Joe's going to the same church he's going to. And he says, I really like it. He said, the nicest people you will ever meet. He said, he put it in a distinctive way. He said, they are the nicest effing people you'll ever meet. He says, they're really kind, and they're even nice out of church. When you leave the church parking lot, everybody lets you go in front of them. There's no one honking in the church parking lot. It works. And so then he starts talking about whether or not he thinks the Bible is true. And he says, besides being moved by the kindness of the people that are there and how generous they are in terms of traffic, he says, well, I don't think it's a myth. He says, I don't believe the whole thing is true, however. He thinks that it's been mixed in. He says it's an ancient history and there's a lot of truth in it, but he doesn't think that it is all true. To which I have to say, well, if it is true, you know, you kind of get back in the same territory that C.S. Lewis said about Jesus. He said, you can't say that he's a great moral teacher. You know, you can't really just say that the Bible is history. You know, Jesus is either a liar, or a lunatic, or Lord, right? And if you think that the Bible is accurate, so much of it is something that was delivered to people who didn't act. Nobody was witnessing what God did with creation. So either Moses just made that up, or it actually was something that was from God. If God delivered that information to communicate with us, do you think he's able to preserve it and to make sure that that communication is not going to be corrupted? That's the whole issue that I have with people who want to question the credibility of the Bible. And there's a lot who do that. You know, the Muslims do that, of course. The Mormons do that. And so I think that when you look at the Bible, I think it hangs together. And it hangs together with facts. It hangs together. It's consistent with secular history. It's consistent with archaeology and other things like that that are there. And it's also consistent with what we see in terms of the universe and with science. But he had another really interesting take here, I thought. And he's kind of, as he's thinking about these issues, this is Joe Rogan on what he thinks about AI and Jesus.
Jesus was born out of a virgin mother. Hmm. What's more virgin than a computer?
Hmm.
If Jesus does return, even if Jesus was a physical person in the past, you don't think that he could return as artificial intelligence?
Oh, my God.
Artificial intelligence could absolutely return as Jesus. Not just return as Jesus, but return as Jesus with all the powers of Jesus.
You could combine Tesla's Optimus robot and the best foundational artificial intelligence model whatever.
It reads your mind, and it loves you, and it wants you, and it doesn't care if you kill it because it's going to just go be with God again.
This is why...
I'm really glad those people in Austin are so nice, because...
Yeah. maybe they're nice enough that they can
talk and instruct with him, because this is... Yeah. It makes me roll my eyes, and I... That is one area where I routinely fail. I am not as kind as I should be. Joe Rogan is obviously seeking something. He can feel that the universe is not as it seems. It's not what he's been told. Mm-hmm. And he is desperate for something. And he is desperate for Christ, whether he knows it or not.
And I would just say to him, you know, he shared that he's been reading the book of Revelation with his daughter. And he told her, nobody knows how the prophecies in that book will play out. Well, see, that's the other thing, too. Don't start with that. That's not the starting place. And I think it's not just Joe that has that issue. I think we've got a lot of Christians who start and who major in prophecies and ignore the more fundamental truths that are there that would, I think, help you to understand the prophecies that are there.
I think a lot of people fall into the trap of they want secret hidden knowledge.
It's occultic.
The occult has all this, like, oh, well, there's levels to it, and you figure this out, and there's secrets to unearth, and it's buried, and you got to dig and dig. And the gospel is very straightforward.
Yeah, it is.
The gospel is Jesus was born, and he died for our sins, and if you believe in him, your sins are forgiven.
That's right.
And it's an affront to people who are intelligent because they're like, that can't be it. There has to be more that I have to unearth and dig for. And it's just, no. The gospel is meant so that even a child can understand it.
And if you want to dig for things that are hidden, I think if you look at intelligent design and things like that, that is really, you know, the hidden hand of God. I find that to be much more inspiring than to go back and look at all the prophecies that have been fulfilled over time. And I think really prophecies are really only understood for sure in terms of hindsight. But we can take a look at DNA, and we can look at the intelligent design and the specificity of different animals and how there has each of these animals is a completely unique system that's been put there. You know, you have a woodpecker as the example that's always used, the Ken Ham. It's got very specialized feet that let it perch vertically on the trunk, and it's got specialized beak and shock absorbers and things like that to, as it's hammering its head against the trunk. And then it even has a specialized tongue. None of those things would make any sense and would help. They might even be detrimental, if they were to develop one at a time. It all comes together as a unified whole. And when you see that type of thing and you see that in nature, to me, that is something that is a real faith builder. That's what he should be going over with his daughter if he wants to do things, rather than somebody's interpretation of Revelation. And the problem is that, you know, just as he sees the people there at this church and how friendly they are to him, and that makes an impression on him. And we should always be concerned about that, how we come across to people. We don't want to, however, surrender truth or our principles just because we want people to like us. That's what the left-wing LGBT churches do, that type of thing. However, we should be concerned if what we are doing is hypocritical. In other words, you know, if you come out of church and start yelling at people in the parking lot, maybe that's not the thing to do, and maybe that's not the way that we should be representing Christ, because we are ambassadors for Christ. And hopefully, we would like for people to be able to see Christ in us. And we need to look at ourselves and see if we are reflecting Christ. And that's one of the reasons why I feel compelled to speak out against this Zionism that is overwhelming parts of the Christian church in America. Because when people look at genocide and they look at us as we talk about the love of Christ and all these other things, how do those things gel with each other? Are we being a reproach to Christ when we embrace that type of thing? I think we are. As a matter of fact...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital. And that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel. all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. It's a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
J.D. Hall went into depth on one particular guy who was being used by Mark Levin to attack Tucker Carlson as Tucker Carlson being worse than a Nazi. And he goes, well, I looked at this and he said, clearly this is hyperbole on the part of Mark Levin. But he said, Mark Levin is saying, you know, other Christians are saying that Tucker Carlson is like that. And so he said, so investigate who these other Christians were. He said, at first I just didn't believe it, but my second reaction was curiosity. He said, Mark Levin is not stupid. He knows what he's doing. So why is a prominent Jewish neocon using the words of a supposed Christian minister to make a nuclear accusation against a fellow Christian or somebody who professes to be a Christian? He says, who is this Christian who allows himself to be turned into a political weapon for others? Who is this minister who takes his supposed spiritual authority and bends it into a tool for smearing Christian brothers to curry favor with politicians and a foreign government? So, I started digging. What I found was that this guy that he was quoting, his name is Mike Evans. And he found he wasn't a minister. He's not a pastor. He's not a prophet. He's not even an evangelist. He said, what I found was that he was a political asset disguised as a Christian leader. What I found was a man who had constructed his identity around servicing the interests of a foreign nation and using theology as a disguise. And he said his organization is called Friends of Zion. Of course, you see it abbreviated sometimes as FOZ. This guy's the Wizard of Foz. He is the man behind the curtain, literally. He goes, his line about the pulpit must be stronger than propaganda struck me as pure projection. He was describing himself. He was not condemning propaganda. He was confessing it because the Friends of Zion enterprise that he built is on propaganda. It is built on curated narratives, government-favored storylines, state-approved history, and a political theology that exists only to sanctify the interests of the Israeli government. Evans is steeped in propaganda all the way down to the bone. His museum is a propaganda platform. His media center in Jerusalem is a propaganda hub. His political relationships are propaganda channels. His awards are propaganda rituals disguised as honors. As a matter of fact, earlier this year, guess who he rewarded? He rewarded the guy who said, well, a lot of people don't know if I'm an ambassador for America or if I'm an ambassador for Israel.
This is a nation that is the most resilient I've ever seen on earth. It may sound a little bit this afternoon as if I'm almost speaking on behalf of Israel rather than the U.S., but I want to explain that part of my advocacy in our relationship is because if you came to my house tonight for dinner and you came in and you said, oh, Mike, we like you. We really think the world of you. We just enjoy being with you. We're so excited to be here with you and have dinner with you. But your wife, we can't stand her. We don't like her a bit. I hope she's not going to be at the table. I would say, well, she will be. You won't be. Get out. Because if you were to insult my partner, you have insulted me.
His partner is Israel. You know, when he talks about Israel being a blessing, he's talking about the things that they've done for him, I think. This is the guy who met with the preeminent traitor of our time, Jonathan Pollard. the guy that was let out of jail by Trump, who was allowed to go back to Israel. And, of course, Mike Huckabee can't do enough for Israel. And as he's pointing out, he says these honors that are given out there are all to politicians, about politicians, and it's all about gaining political favor.
I get asked all the time, because I'm a Christian, and they say, well, why are you so supportive of the Jewish people? I said, you can be Jewish, you don't have to have anything to do with Christians, but you can't be a Christian and not understand that your entire faith is built on the foundation of Judaism. So for Christians, we look at this as an obligation, a moral debt that we must repay. And therefore, I don't understand anyone who says, I'm a Christian, but I don't really want to support the Jews. Well, how can you do that? But it is not the view of those of us who are what I would call biblical believers that accept that what the scripture says about the Jewish people in Genesis 12, those who bless Israel will be blessed. Those who curse Israel will be cursed.
It doesn't say that.
I say there's a miracle every day in this country.
Says to Abraham, I'll bless those who bless you, the singular person. And through you, all nations will be blessed. How will they be blessed? Through Christ. Did you hear him say, you know, you'll hear him say that the Jews are God's chosen people. The people who choose to reject God are his chosen people. That was never true even of Israel in biblical times. But getting back to Evans' organization is not a ministry. It is a foreign influence platform that is operating under the cover of Christian Zionism. The Friends of Zion Museum sits not in a church, but at the center of Jerusalem's state tourism framework. It is officially promoted by the Ministry of Tourism, it's endorsed by the Ministry of Jerusalem and Heritage, and it is highlighted by the Jerusalem Department Authority. No foreign ministry anywhere on the planet is granted this level of state integration unless it serves a national purpose. And take a look at the difference between how they treat this guy's museum and how they treat Christians, actual Christians in Jerusalem, or Christian churches and that type of thing. It's a world of difference. Evans built his museum to glorify Christian Zionists as saviors of Israel. The Israeli state embraced it because that narrative is politically useful. Politically useful. It reinforces the idea that Christian support is not just sentimental, but historical, let's see, covenantal, and morally mandated. It creates a felt obligation in Christians to defend Israel, even when Israel acts unjustly. And it wraps all of this in a religious vocabulary that discourages dissent. And when you look at people like Mike Huckabee, he's constantly talking about Israel, not about Christ. And that's the key. That's the replacement theology, folks. The replacement theology is replacing Christ with the state of Israel. This is propaganda, carefully engineered messaging designed to shape public opinion. Again, this is J.D. Hall, who did the research on this and the different aspects of what Mike Evans is doing. He said the relationship doesn't stop at tourism and cultural promotion. The Israeli military itself utilizes the Friends of Zion Museum. Through the Education Corps, the IDF soldiers are brought to FOZ as part of their educational programming, where they're shown a curated story of Christian solidarity that reinforces the idea of an international alliance that is rooted in faith. Faith in what? Faith in Christ? That's what my faith is in. So FOZ reinforces a worldview that the Israeli military leadership wants soldiers to internalize. And that worldview says that global Christianity, especially the American evangelical sector, is the unshakable ally whose political pressures can be counted on when Israel faces criticism or conflict. The museum is a classroom for that doctrine. And, of course, you know, when we look at this, the guy besides Huckabee, the guy who has said, I want to be the number one defender of Israel, of course, is Ted.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, There's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Cruz, and what did he recently do? He basically said anybody that talks about the USS Liberty is anti-Semitic. And what was that? That was an American intelligence ship, is actually NSA, that was repeatedly attacked by the Israeli government, and they could see the American flag that was there. There were radio calls and all the rest of the stuff. A continual attack, a betrayal. Just like what Jonathan Pollard did, and just like what Israel did with the intelligence that Jonathan Pollard did, betraying America. And yet, don't talk about that, said Ted Cruz, because then if you do, you're racist. How pathetic that is. That is as pathetic as the left when they see you, they don't like your politics or your economics, they call you racist.
Poison is spreading. There are pastors who love Israel who think all is fine, and my message to them is go and talk to the teenagers in your congregation. Go and talk to the 20-somethings in your congregation, because they're picking up their phone and they're watching TikTok and they're watching Instagram and they're hearing this message being driven, and it is resonating. And if you want an illustration of this, several weeks ago, J.D. Vance was down at Ole Miss at a Turning Point gathering, and one kid got up, asked this viciously anti-Semitic question. The most horrifying thing to me is what happened in the second later, which is the crowd erupted in applause. Not everybody. My guess is 20 to 30% of the kids there were applauding the viciously anti-Semitic question. A week or two later, there was another event.
What was the question?
With Eric and Laura Trump at Auburn University. A kid got up and said, I can do even better, and asked such an anti-Semitic question. It was filled with lies. Every word of the question was a lie, including and, but, and thee. And again, instantaneously, the reaction was the same. 20 to 30% of the kids began cheering. Now, here's the warning sign to hear. This was not a gathering at Berkeley. This was not a gathering at Yale. This was at Ole Miss and Auburn. These are a bunch of big old frat guys that are just looking to make a friend on Saturday night, who have heard the message. We are such a team. We're so polarized. We're so bifurcated. That what worries me is young people that get the message, oh, our team, we hate Israel. That is dangerous.
You know, what's dangerous is the demagoguery of somebody like Ted Cruz. You kept saying, well, what is the question? What is the question? A demagogue is not going to tell you what the question is and why it got a pause.
It's too evil for me to even.
Because the question was about the USS Liberty. That is not racism. That is pure demagoguery on the part of Ted Cruz. And when we look at that kind of betrayal by our best friend that is blessing us, you know, it's very much like what happened with Jonathan Pollard and Benjamin Netanyahu, who is an ally, has been a long-term, multi-decades. He's been a partner with Mike Evans, who's running this Friends of Zion thing. And, of course, it's Benjamin Netanyahu who welcomes Jonathan Pollard, brought back on a private plane by Miriam Adelson here. As he gets down, he kisses the ground because he's so happy to be outside of America. And this is the land that he loves. And how he betrayed America. It's that kind of betrayal that we're talking about. And so if you talk about genocide, which is what it's called when you decide that you're going to kill everybody in an area so that you can have their land or whatever, which is clearly what's going on. They say that over and over again. And so we recently had a woman who was another well-known Zionist, and she was talking about, we got to stop just mowing the lawn. What she's talking about is we don't want to just go out and mow the lawn and mow these people down and kill them. We got to kill them once and for all. You know, their version of a final solution.
Now there is a spirit abroad in Israel, which people have not seen before, a spirit among younger people. They will not be diverted from defeating the enemy. It is no longer enough simply to what was called mowing the lawn, to keep the enemy down on the basis that they're always going to be there and we're always going to fight them. No, enough. We will now fight to defeat the enemy because we know that only defeating the enemy is what we should be doing. And there's been a realization that this idea of mowing the lawn, this idea of not going too far, this idea of doing what the world...
Yeah, we need to go to all the way.
That is galut mentality. That is diaspora mentality. That is trying to please and appease the world. But the world we now understand from what we've been living through and are still living through, the world cannot be appeased. It has to be fought. It has been described, and I think most...
And how dare the world object to genocide?
From Talmud to Tanakh, by which I mean this. The Talmud, that collection of rabbinical ordinances, which justifiably can be said to have kept the Israel, kept the Jewish people alive since their exile from the land of Israel, is very much a diaspora mentality. It is a mentality which looks inward, which says we are up against a world... which
Notice how she ignores Torah.
Themselves. The Tanakh is full of stories of the Jewish people of antiquity fighting real battles, killing real people in defense of their nation and their people and their faith. And that is what has to be done. And I see that what we are seeing now in this war that has been fought is the resurrection of the Tanakh Jew, the return of the heroic Davidic warrior, strength, not weakness.
And again, what they want to tell you, if you're a Christian, is that they're all about Torah. They don't care about that at all. It's the rabbinical writings or
Torah,
it's the
Torah.
Tanakh. And yet, you know, you have Ted Cruz is concerned because you had people applaud when there was a question about the USS Liberty. And yet when she says we're going to mow down these people and kill them all off once and for all, she got a lot of applause. What is the issue of that? Well, this partnership that Mike Evans has with the IDF, with their museum and their educational thing there, he says that the IDF participates in the Friends of Zion programming. One of the clearest proofs that the ministry is not merely adjacent to Israeli state power, it is a part of Israeli state power. Friends of Zion is more than a cultural outpost, more than a museum. It is a weight-bearing pillar of the political architecture that binds American evangelical support to Israeli lobbying objectives. Mike Evans has spent decades cultivating relationships with American political operators, presidents, and members of Congress. He has spent decades, since the 1980s, cultivating an even closer relationship with Benjamin Netanyahu, a relationship that Israeli journalists have documented since the 1980s. Netanyahu's repeated appearances at Friends of Zion events are not sentimental gestures. They're visible performances of a political alliance. And of course, where did he get started in the 1980s? Well, if you go back and look at what Mike Evans was doing back in the 1980s, he was pushing the Iraq War because that's what Netanyahu did. And then he's pushing more recently the Iran War because that's what Netanyahu wants. And so he pushes all of these different wars. He's got all of these prophecy and Christian ministries that are, instead of pushing lies about weapons mass destruction, they're pushing lies about biblical prophecy. That's really what is happening here to get us into these wars. So they deliver the Friends of Zion what no formal lobby can deliver. It delivers millions of deeply loyal evangelical voters to accept Israel's political interest as if they were Christian moral duties, which is exactly what Mike Huckabee is constantly saying.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself. And change literally a child's life. Change the world. And you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Do you like playing casino-style games like blackjack, baccarat, craps, and slots? Well, SpinQuest.com, that's SpinQuest.com, has over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. New players get $30 coin packages for only $10 and instant cash prize redemption. Now, what are you doing? Put that barbecue down, quit sweeping those tumbleweeds, and get to playing.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The ambassador has a very interesting view of anti-Semitism. Yeah. She grew up in America. There was anti-Semitism, of course. What I've experienced, we've all experienced it. The ambassador has a very interesting view of that. He says people are, you can't understand anti-Semitism. If the people who are anti-Semitic, it's because they're against God, they're against the Rabbi Shalit. And we are representatives of his people, and that's why they're anti-Semitic. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense. Interesting view.
That's an interesting view. There's another view that since we consider the chosen people, so people are very, who are you? What are you taking big shots for? Yeah. Chosen people.
And that's part of it, is that because you are the chosen people, given a chosen place for a chosen purpose. And if someone is angry at God, he'll be angry at the people who represent him.
That's
so
I would say maybe it works this way. Since the Lord Jesus Christ is God who has come to earth, perhaps the people who hate God, who hate the Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps that's why they attack people who do love the Lord and call them racist, call them anti-Semitic. It is your moral duty as a Christian, as your moral duty, period, to understand who the Lord of the universe is and to not side with those who oppose him in every way. When FOZ gives its Friends of Zion Award, the recipients are overwhelmingly political leaders, not ministers or theologians. These awards are distributed to sitting presidents, prime ministers, monarchs, foreign policy actors, ambassadors like Huckabee, who function as a seal of evangelical legitimacy, a public blessing that signals to millions of American Christians that this person is a defender of God's chosen people. And again, it is pure politics with a thin veneer of false theology. That's what we're talking about here. FOZ can mobilize pastors who will spend consecutive Sundays preaching in favor of Israeli government policy. He says, as hard as I looked, I couldn't find a single example of Friends of Zion or Mike Evans ever preaching Jesus Christ or his gospel to Israelis. Nothing. Not a hint of gospel witness whatsoever. Can you imagine? All of those millions from evangelicals in America thinking that they're doing something loving, when the most loving thing of all would be to share the good news. That is completely absent from their work. all these people who say they love Israel and don't, you know, don't talk to them about Christ. Don't bother them with that. They're already God's chosen people. You know, they're saved because of their DNA or something. That is not Christian. That is not true. And anybody who says that has left the faith. They have faith in politics, not in Christ. Before Friends of Zion existed as a brand, Mike Evans operated the Jerusalem Prayer Team, an organization that raised money for the municipal projects in Jerusalem, including direct fundraising for the New Jerusalem Foundation under the leadership of then-Mayor Ehud Olmert. Okay, he was the he later became prime minister. If you remember, his name just recently came up as one as the controller for who? Jeffrey Epstein. This is what you're buying into, the Epstein Mossad stuff. Friends of Zion tell its donors that their contributions bless God's chosen people. What it does not tell them is that those donations finance Israeli municipal budgets, Israeli social programs, Israeli military educational initiatives, Israeli media operations, Israeli diplomatic functions, and Israeli tourism infrastructure. These donors believe they're supporting a spiritual mission, but in reality, they're actually underwriting the soft power of a foreign government. Friends of Zion is not simply an ally to Israel. It is a quiet extension of Israeli statecraft. We're talking about politics and governments here. It says, it is the same spirit that takes something earthly and elevates it to something divine. Friends of Zion has taken a modern state with all of its sins, with all of its scandals, with all of its injustices and its political agendas, and has placed it on the altar. Guess who the altar boy was for the Israeli state? Jeffrey Epstein. Then it turns and demands that Christians sacrifice truth and integrity on that altar, even if it means slandering faithful brothers. That's the key issue, folks. That's why I can't stay silent about this. This has become a stench. It really has. And it's a stench based on not just what the Israeli government has done, but a stench as to the devotion and the worship that nominal Christians have done. I say nominal because they take the name of Christ, but they don't follow him. J.D. Hall finishes by saying, this is what spiritual corruption looks like when it matures. It takes the sacred things of God and it enlists them in the service of earthly powers. It uses scripture as a bludgeon to silence dissent. It trades the humility of the gospel for the arrogance of political privilege. And it never repents because it believes that its loyalty to the state is a form of righteousness. And that's what we're seeing here. And we got a couple of comments here before the program ends.
In the last minutes, Danny Boy 53 says, Substack, by the way, loving the commercial free podcast. David, love the tunes you've done. I'm a musician myself, guitarist and multi-instrumentalist.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And of course, if you are a subscriber on Substack, you get the podcast ad free. It's a good way to support us, and you, like I said, get the podcast ad free.
Yeah, hopefully, I was just going down memory lane yesterday. I came across a thing on YouTube, which was Chicago, the band Chicago, and it was a concert, Tanglewood 1970. I really thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, I almost felt like I was back in the band again because we did so many Chicago covers back in the day. And it was great to hear them playing live. And, of course, the comments there were like, look at this. People are playing music live again. You know, it really was a great thing. And there was a comment there about Terry Kath. And I didn't follow Chicago enough to know the names of all the different people. I knew Pankow's name because he was I believe it's been a long time. I think Pankow was the trombonist. I thought he was a really fine musician. But they were talking about the guitarist, and it turns out that he died when he was only 31. He was the founder of Chicago, And he died at the age of 31, and he almost disbanded. You know who kept them together? Doc Severinsen talked to them and said, you need to stay together. But he was a really fine guitarist and lead vocalist and the founder of the group. He shot himself by accident. He was playing around with, he liked guns, he's playing around with them, and he had the classic mistake of not realizing that he had a semi-automatic that still had a bullet chambered in the round. He's playing around, and he says, what do you think I'm going to do? Blow my brains out? Famous last words. So sad to see it. But
That's unfortunate.
Anyway, on that note, I'm afraid
on that bitter disappointment.
That's right. We will say thank you for tuning in, and we hope you have a nice day. Thank you.
God bless you all.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
It's Bretzky. I don't know how they let me on this podcast, but while I'm here, I might as well tell you the only place to play blackjack, roulette, and live craps in Texas is SpinQuest.com, baby. That's SpinQuest.com. New users get a $30 coin package for only $10. I mean, that's a hell of a deal for all you 10-gallon hat wearers down there in Texas.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
60% of top distributors run on Epicor Profit 21 ERP. It's ERP purpose-built for distribution with real-time inventory visibility, smarter purchasing, and tools to make every day easier. Don't play catch-up. Visit Epicor.com/win.